The Gillette Cavalcade of Sports is on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, and hello, baseball fans everywhere. This is Jimmy Dudley at the Polo Grounds in New York, greeting you for the Gillette Safety Razor Company, as the Cleveland Indians and the New York Giants get set for the opening game of the 1954 World Series. This is the 16th consecutive year that baseball's championship classic is being broadcast to your entertainment on the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports. Yes, and because so many of you sports fans are also Gillette fans, we broadcast and telecast other athletic events of national interest, including the regular Friday night boxing bout, for your entertainment the year round. And now, fans, we turn you over to one of baseball's all-time greats, Frankie Frisch, the Fordham Flash. Frankie is on deck in the clubhouse right now to give you the inside dope on the series. Today, he interviews Baseball Commissioner Ford Frick, the National and American League presidents Warren Giles and Will Harrig, along with Leo DeRocha and Al Lopez. Take it away, Frankie Frisch.
Hey, Frankie Frisch.
Good afternoon, fans. Well, it's a pleasure to have on our Gillette program the both managers of the two fine ball clubs, Mr. Al Lopez. Al, how are you? The Cleveland Indians and Leo DeRocha. Say, Al, I'm going to ask you one question. You have done a terrific job. Well, to win be on a championship club, you've got to do a terrific job. What would you say is responsible for your club winning the pennant this year? One or two? Now, you finished, what, second back in those Yankees for two or three years?
3 years in a row, Frank.
3 years in a row. What couple of men, three or four men, helped you?
Well, Frank, the only thing I can say is Vic Wirtz was a great help to us at first base. It gave us that little extra punch. Our bench was tremendous. It really helped us because we had fellas like Rosen, Strickland, Avila, and really top-flight ball players out of the lineup for two or three weeks at a time. Then our extra pitching. Fellas like Newhouser and those two young boys, Don Morsey and Ray Nowetzki, did a tremendous job for us. I think that was responsible mostly for the success we've had this year.
Say, Leo, that Giant Ball Club, that first game out, looks pretty good. How about your club hopping up there?
Well, Frank, they played wonderful as a team, as you well know, and I couldn't put my finger on any one man. Alvin Dock, naturally, the captain of the club, Willie Mays, were great, Matt Nelly. But I think it was more of a team effort as a unit that did a great job, and naturally, Al sitting alongside of me here, I'm hoping we can continue right on through the series.
Well, you know, I get a pleasure out of this because both you fellas played for me, and both wonderful team, man.
Let's not go back that far, Frank.
No, that's only one. A few years back, I mean, no question, a few gray hairs. Say, listen, Al, a Gillette razor. I know you'll enjoy it. In the back of that.
Thank you, Frank. That's a very nice razor.
Thank you. And Leo?
This is my favorite, too.
Well, I say, how old is that youngster of yours?
He's 12, Frank.
Look, give him one of those two. He'll be able to shave pretty soon. In the back of that, I know he's going to enjoy that World Series, the Gillette World Series record book. It's got everything in it. It's a terrific book, and every little thing in it. It's even got the Flash's name in there. Hey, thanks kindly for being with us. And lots of luck to both of you. And take care of your health. Nice to see you. This is indeed a pleasure. I'd like to introduce to you, fans, the Commissioner of Baseball, Mr. Ford Frick.
Yes, Frank. Hi, thank you.
And Mr. Warren Giles, the President of the National League.
Hi, Frank.
And Mr. Will Harrig, President of the American League.
Nice to see you, Frank.
Mr. Harrig, nice to see you, sir. And the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, James Mitchell. He's here to make a presentation on behalf of the Armed Forces Radio Services.
Mr. Frick, Mr. Giles, Mr. Harridge, as the representative of Secretary of Defense Charles E. Wilson, it's a real privilege to present these certificates of appreciation for your cooperation in making possible the broadcast of Major League games to our service men and women overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Armed Forces Radio Service has 72 local stations all over the world. They broadcast, in addition to sports events, news, shows of various kinds, and you can imagine what it means to these young men and women who are representing America all over the world to be up to date inning by inning, with Major League Baseball. It's a real pleasure, and I really appreciate your cooperation in making these broadcasts possible. Gentlemen.
Thanks very much, Mr. Mitchell.
I'm very glad to hear you.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell.
From the Department of Defense.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very kindly, gentlemen. Mr. Cook, if you come over and sit down with me old Flash for a few minutes, I'd just like to have a little chat with you, sir. Well,
covered on that one.
And it's always a pleasure to sit with the Commissioner of Baseball. You've been a wonderful man. You in the radio business, Mr. Cook? Is that so?
Well, that's one of the chapters in my past. It's a dark chapter, Frank.
And also a newspaper man?
Yes.
Now, are you neutral in this series?
I'm completely neutral up to a point, yes. I hope we have a great series. I hope we don't have any umpire trouble. I hope it doesn't rain. As concerns those things, I'm not neutral.
Well, the weather is, it's a beautiful day for a ball game. Is that right?
Marvelous.
It's marvelous.
It's a beautiful
day. And I know no pitcher can complain about pitching a ball game today as being too hot.
Or too cold.
Or too cold.
Oh, indeed.
What do you think about the attendance?
I have a hunch, Frank, that if this, however long the series goes, that for the number of games it goes, we will break the attendance record.
How many? Go ahead, Mr. Cooper.
Well, you see, we have two great parks, and if it should only go four games, I think we would break the attendance record for four games, or five or six, depending on how many we go.
The seating capacity at the program is 55,000, isn't it?
Frank, I really don't know. It's right around that yet.
And
of course, you take out in rural series, you take out quite a few seats to take care of radio and newspaper men and telegraphers and that sort of thing. We take out probably, 600 or 800 seats.
And there was one question I wanted to ask you, Mr. Commissioner. How about the boy that's going to throw out the first ball today?
It's going to be little Jimmy Berendisi, I think his name is, and I'm awful proud to have him. He's the center fielder and the captain of the Little League team that won the World Championship.
Oh, that's fine. I hope his arm's in good shape so he reaches out to that mound and does a good job.
He's not big, Frank, but he's still young. You know, they can hook that ball when they're young.
How old is he?
Well, he can't be more than 12.
Oh.
But Little League ends at 12, you see.
That's right. And I was up to a Little League session the other day. Those kids do a terrific job. They're really wonderful. Now, you have no favorite in this series.
No, sir.
Commissioner, thanks kindly for being with us.
Thank you.
And fans, it's time to wind up our clubhouse interviews this afternoon, and we've got to switch you now to the broadcast booth. Commissioner, thanks kindly.
Thanks a lot, Frank.
And now, fans, this is Jimmy Dudley speaking to you again from the Neutral Radio booth, and today we're all set to bring you the first game of the 1954 World Series. Manager Al Lopez has met with Captain Alvin Dock of the Giants and the umpires at home plate, and here are the lineups for today's ball game. The first game in the 1954 World Series, the 51st World Series, the 14th for the Giants and the 3rd for the Indians. For the Cleveland Indians, the visiting club, leading off, in left field, number 32, Al Smith. At second base, Bobby Avila, batting champion of the American League this year. In center field, the Indian spectacular outfielder, Larry Doby. At third base and batting in the cleanup spot, Al Rosen. At first base, Vic Wirtz. In right field, Dave Philly. At shortstop, George Strickland. Catching for the Indians, Jim Hegan. And pitching the first game for the Tribe, the 1954 World Series, is the Indians ace right-hander, number 21, Bob Lemon. During the regular season, he won 23 and lost only 7. Appearing in 36 ball games, he held 21 complete games and wound up with an earned run average of 2.69, one of the best in baseball. The lineup for the New York Giants. At first base, leading off is Whitey Lockman. At shortstop, Captain Alvin Dodd. In right field, Don Mueller. In center field, Willie Mays, the Giants' spectacular outfielder. At third base, Hank Thompson. In left field, Monty Irvin. At second base, Bobby Williams. Catching for the Giants, Wes Westrum. And pitching the first game for the Giants, Sal Magley. Winner of 14, losing only 6 during the regular season. This broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the Commissioner is prohibited. Here are the umpires for this afternoon's game. Working back of the plate, from the National League, Violet. At first base, from the American League, Berry. At second base, from the National League, Conlon. And at third base, from the American League, Stevens. The two alternate umpires who will be working the foul line in the first game of the 54 World Series. On the left field foul line will be one of the game's great pitchers of years gone by, Lon Wanacki. And on the right field foul line from the American League, Larry Knapp. And the stage is all set for what promises to be one of the most thrilling World Series in the history of the game. This, as we said a moment ago, is the 51st World Series. Bob Lemon versus Sal Magley. Here at today's ball game is a youngster who is getting perhaps one of the greatest thrills of all time in his life, young life. Jimmy Barberi of Schenectady, the captain of the Schenectady Little Leaguers, world champions in Little League play, threw out the first baseball and will throw it out again as we get ready to go. Now the Giants take the playing field, and that means that action is coming up. Right now, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
And this is WGN, your exclusive World Series station in Chicago.
And now, fans, with action about ready to get underway, the coaches are taking to the coaches' box on first and third. At first for the Indians will be Red Press. At third base, number 44, Tony Cuccinello. And may I take just a second of your time to say that it gives me a great thrill to be working my first World Series game. A great deal of pleasure to sit up here in the Mutual Radio broadcast booth. And now with Sal Magley taking those last few warm-up pitches, it's with a great deal of joy and pride that I turn you over now to Mutual's man of sport, the voice that has become familiar to millions of fans everywhere. Big in heart, big in sport, and big in voice. Al Helfer.
Well, thank you very much, Jim Dudley. Good afternoon, everybody. And hi, fans all around the country and all around the world this afternoon. We're very happy, too, to have Jim Dudley up here for his first World Series. And we're happy, too, to be here on the Eastern Seaboard this afternoon to have such beautiful weather. The kind of weather you'd expect for this fall classic. Sal Magley has been warming up for the past about half hour, and is he on the mound right now, getting ready to make the first pitch here to the first man up for Cleveland, Al Smith, first-rounded left fielder. We have a wind very stiffly blowing in from behind left field here this afternoon as bright, brilliant sunlight bathes Coogan's Bluff. And we expect that the fly balls hit into right and the right center field will be carried and lofted away by the wind that is coming in right now. Sal Magley is taking the last of his warm-up pitches, and we'll set the New York Giants for you defensively now. On the mound, Sal Magley, who has won 14 ball games, has lost 6 this year, has pitched 1 of the 17 shutouts that have been registered by Giant pitching. His battery mate is a very dependable Wes Westrum, although a light hitter, a very fine receiver. At first base is Whitey Lockman, the Carolina Comet. At second base, the kid from Dallas, David Williams. At short, the old Bayou Tiger. And at Elvendor, the captain of the ball club. At third base is Hank Thompson, a fine little left fielder. A fine little third baseman and also a fielder. And now, the ball will be crossed out by Jimmy Barberi. And it is being crossed out, and Wes Westrum catches it, goes over, shakes his hand, congratulates him on being a fine ball player also, and we are getting ready for the first pitch in the 1954 World Series, the 51st World Series to go to the board between the American and the National League. Out in left field, Monty Irvin, who made quite a splash by stealing home base in the 1951 World Series. In center field is Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid. And in right field, a very dependable Don Mueller. As Sal Magley steps up on the rubber, looks down at his right-handed hitter, and takes his side from Wes Westrum. Al Bollick behind the plate leans down over the shoulder of Wes Westrum to get a look at the first pitch. As Al Smith, choking up on the handle of the bat, steps in about three-quarters deep at the plate. Magley over his head. Down comes the pitch of fastball, which is inside and tight off the letters for ball one. So the 1954 World Series, ladies and gentlemen, is on the fire. Wes Westrum down in the crouch again to pump the sign, and Smith stands there and waits. He's batting a 281 on the regular season. Sal Magley in no hurry, and you can't blame him. Goes over his head, pumps, kicks, and throws a curve. Smith runs up, drops the bunt, takes the pitch low outside, and it's ball two. Two balls and no strikes. The count on the very first hitter up here for Cleveland, bidding to win their third straight World Series. They've won two, as Jimmy Dudley told you, they have lost none. While the Giants have appeared in 13, and they have won 4 World Series and have lost 9. Magley delivers a high fastball into the chin. That's ball three. 3 balls and no strikes to count here on the Cleveland leadoff man, Al Smith, the left fielder. He'll be backed up by the American League batting champion, Bobby Avila. Time is called for the moment while Wes Westrum walks that ball partway back to the mound to Sal Magley. And the barber from Niagara Falls, New York, turns his back on Al Smith, looks to the scoreboard in center field, and then turns around and places the foot up on the rubber, leans forward to take his sign. Wes Westrum again to pop the mid as a target. Now here's the motion. Up over his head goes Magley, delivers that crooked arm curve, and hits Al Smith right in the middle of the back. So we have the first hit batsman. And Cleveland has their first runner in the 1954 World Series. Well, coming up to the plate now, batting at 341 on the regular season, Bobby Avila, the Patent Pride of Veracruz, Mexico. Bobby Avila, who's done just about everything for these amazing Cleveland Indians this year. Standing deep at the plate, about three-quarters deep, crowds up on it somewhat, hits him right-handed, and holds that bat way down to the knob, despite the fact he's not a very big guy. He's a fine hit-and-run man, particularly when he's on the bases, they'll play hit-and-run. Al Smith leads off at first, Lockman on the inside corner, Maggie Good is a curve, and Avila jumps back from a fast one, fired in at the waist. That's ball one on Bobby Avila. Sal Magley makes the motion, he doesn't want to throw that ball anymore, and a new one has gotten out of the pocket of plate umpire Al Bart. As Jimmy told you, the umpires here this afternoon, Al Bartik of the National League working behind the plate. And we have, at first, Charlie Berry, Jock O'Connell of the National League at second, Johnny Stevens at third, both Berry and Stevens of the American League. Wanneke and Knapp are on the foul line. John Wanneke down the left field line, he's at the National League, and the right field line we have Larry Knapp. Down the bullpen, we have a left-hander warming up now for the New York Giants, John Little, just in case Sal Magley should... We're having a little trouble with his control, but there's one thing we can tell you. Mike, we usually start shakily like this and settles down. The pitch to the plate now to Avila is a fastball over first strike. One ball and one strike now. The count on Bobby Avila, hitting number two in the Cleveland order. He'll be followed by Larry Doby. Doby, who has posted quite a year with the Cleveland Indians. He's been their RBI leader, their home run leader. He's played a lot of fine defensive center field. But right now, we're centering our attentions on Bobby Avila at the plate. The pitch to him is a curveball swung on by Avila, and that's out in the right center field. It's in there for the base hit. There goes Smith down to second base. He's going to hold on. No, he's not. He's going to keep on going as Mueller bobbles the ball. Fires in quickly to third base. Well, we'll get the official ruling on that for you in a moment. It may be a hit and an error. We'll know in a moment as Ed McCauley, Ronnie Kumiko, and Harry Jones are discussing. It'll be a single to right center field for Bobby Avila, and an error will be charged to John Mueller, the on-charging right fielder who tried to field that ball and get it in quickly. And the error, of course, allowing Al Smith to move around to third base. So there is the first error of the 1954 World Series, charged to right fielder Don Mueller. So we have runners at first and third now for the Cleveland Indians. Nobody out, top of the first inning. And Larry Doby, who on the regular season batted 272, is coming up. He's a left-hand hitter, crowds in on the plate, holds that bat way down to the knob and bats from a crouch. Infield playing double play. Depth as the pitch is made to the plate. Doby takes the fastball outside and high, just about at shoulder level for ball one. Sal Magley in trouble, grabs that rosin bag, he slams it down on the ground, turns around, shakes his head. You need to sort of feel how Sal, at this particular time, might feel. Runners at first and third. His back is up against the wall, and he's in the World Series of 1954. And he knows the chips are down, and they're big, and they're blue. The outfield playing just about straight away for Doby, slightly shaded around the right, particularly Don Mueller playing a deep right center. Down comes the pitch, fastball. Doby Ackles hits a high pop up off the third baseline. Hank Thompson over near the stands. Can he get it? I believe so. He's under it and does make the catch for the first out in the runner's hole. But Larry Doby fouls up and out. Now one out here in the top half of the first inning as Al Rosen comes up to the plate. Here's a guy who's always dangerous. Al Rosen's the kind of guy that will give you all the competition in the world. Al Rosen, batting at a flat 300 for the season, has driven in 102 Cleveland runs in the regular American League race and has hit 24 home runs. And he played a greater portion of the season with a bad hand and bad finger. Al Rosen, coming up to the plate right now, hitting in the number four position. Boy born in Spartanburg, South Carolina, now makes his home in Cleveland, Ohio. Chokes up someone on the handle. The bat stands deep with an overly closed stance. Al Smith leading down off third. Bobby Avila off first. Second is open. Double play depth on the Giant infield. The pitch is made. Swung on. There's a high pop-up. This one coming down to Whitey Lockman at first base. He's under it. Waiting for it. He's got it. So Rosen pops up and out to first base from Whitey Lockman. And now it's going to take more than that sacrifice fly to get the runner in from third base. The break is nothing-nothing tie. The Cleveland Indians started off right away by threatening. Al Smith was hit by the pitch. Then went down to second base on Bobby Avila's dunk single in the right center field, and the overcharge by right fielder Don Mueller. He tried to field that ball before he really had it. Tried to fire it over to third base to make sure that Al Smith didn't get there, but in his excitement and in his hurry, he dropped the ball, and an error was charged against him. So here's Vic Wirtz up at the plate now, batting at 256. He's been a powerhouse guy, hit for left-handed. Sal tries the fastball on him and misses with a shoulder high outside for ball one. Outfield fan around the right, playing deep, the right side of the infield deep, particularly Davey Williams in the hole between first and second. He's back on the rim of the outfield grass. Lockman holding the runner of Avila at first. The pitch is made. Wood swings. There's a long drive. Even right field. Don Mueller has to hurry. He's down. Back. He can't get it. He's up against the wall in right center field. In comes Smith to score. Bobby Adair is right behind him. There goes Vic Wirtz. He's going to try for three. The relay by Williams is not in time. As the slide by Victor Wirtz gets him into third with a triple. Victor Wirtz, the triple off the right center field wall. Deep back by the Giants bullpen. And there is the second hit to be given up by Sal Magley here, and runs one and two. And the Cleveland Indians are leading here in the top half of the first inning by the score of 2-0. Dave Philly coming up now. He's a switch hitter. Dave Philly batting number 6 in the Cleveland order. From Garrett's Bluff, Texas, now lives in Paris, Texas. Here's a guy that's meant an awful lot to the Cleveland Indians this year by his play out in right field. Magley throws him the curveball, and it's high outside for ball one. Victor Wirtz, who was well over to the Cleveland Indians after the start of the season. He came to the Baltimore Orioles, who seemed to rejuvenate Vic Wirtz and give him new life. A New York, Pennsylvania boy has just paid off here in the World Series with a triple to score 2 runs for Cleveland. Magley delivers a curveball to the plate. Philly slides in, doesn't offer, takes it high, and that's ball two. Two to nothing favor Cleveland here in the top half of the first inning. Two down, one on. Tom Magley in trouble. Well, there's a big curveball. One swing on, there's a high fly ball to deep right field. Going over to his right, getting under now, Tom Mueller, back to the senior track. He makes it for the third and final out here in the first half of inning number one. So for the Cleveland Indians, they cash in with a pair of runs here in the top half of the first inning. Two runs on two base hits. There was one error charged to the Giants, and there was one Cleveland runner left on. So the score at the end of the top half of the first inning is Cleveland 2 and the New York Giants nothing. Well, here it is, fans, the 1954 World Series. And to help you get the most out of every critical play in these history-making games, Gillette offers the World Series record book. This handy new 112-page book gives you the scores of every past World Series game, the record of every player, diagrams of all big league parts, basic rules, scoring instructions, a dictionary of baseball slang, and a wealth of other important baseball facts. So for baseball savvy, and to get more fun out of these series games, have a copy of Gillette's World Series book. Here's all you do. Just treat yourself to an easy-shaving Gillette Super Speed Razor set, including blue blade dispenser and travel case, at the regular price, $1. The record book is attached, and it's free. Right back at the business at hand here at the Polo Grounds in New York City as we move into the last half of the first inning of the first game of the 1954 World Series. The leadoff man for the New York Giants will be Whitey Lockman, their spectacular first baseman. He'll be followed by Alvin Dark, a great competitor at shortstop and captain and field leader of the ball club. Then will come Don Mueller in right field. If anyone else is needed in the inning, the National League batting champion, Shohei Willie Mays, the center fielder, will be up there swinging lumber. Bob Lemon, from Long Beach, California, who appeared in 36 games this year for the American League champion with an earned run average, as Jimmy Dudley told you, of 2.69, is coming out there to do the pitching now for Cleveland. His battery mate, the very dependable Jim Hegan behind the plate. At first base, Victor Wirtz, who has turned this ball game upside down so far. With his triple, it scored 2 runs for Cleveland in the top of the first. Bobby Avila will be at second. At shortstop, George Strickland. And at third base is Al Rosen. In the outfield, we have Smith in left, will be in center, and we'll get the right field in a moment. As Buddy Lockman comes up there, both the first pitch past the mound, Bobby Adina comes in, picks up, shovels over to Victor Wirtz in time, and that's all for Buddy Lockman, who tries to bunt his way on in the top half, the last half of this inning. See down there in front of the dugout, Leo DeRoche is walking back and forth. He's talking to his boys. You know, he's played a lot of these World Series games, and would you like to know how he made out? Well, the facts are in the Gillette World Series record book. Leo himself says that Gillette book sure gives you baseball savvy, and it's free with the purchase of a one-piece Gillette razor at the regular price. Alvin Dark, coming up there now. One out. Nobody on here in the last half of the first inning. Alvin Dark hitting right-handed. Batted 293 in the regular season. Bob Lemon, 23-game winner for the Indians, delivers a curveball that misses inside and tight for ball one. The right fielder this afternoon for the Cleveland Indians, and I don't believe we got to him defensively, is Dave Philly. So we set everyone for you now defensively. As Bob Lemon, chewing gum out there a mile a minute, delivers a fastball that's low and outside to a right-hand hitter. Alvin Dark counts quickly now is 2 balls and no strikes. One out, last half of the first. The Giants behind as Cleveland scored twice in their top half of the first inning. to lead 2-0. Well, as the boys were trading, sir, they lost no time in getting to it. Lemon ready, delivers 2-0. A fast curve snaps off low and outside, and Bob will carry a lot of that sinker stuff. He throws a pretty good slider, and his fastball will hop if it's working good. Ready for Simmons, coaching it first for the Giants. At third is Herman Pratt. There's the fastball, laid through but low. That's ball four, and Alvin Dodge, a 293 hitter, has walked here in the last half of the first inning. So there's the first base on balls given up by Bob Lemon. He walked only 93 during the entire year. Ron Mueller finished very high in the National League batting race for the Crown. He hit 342 behind his teammate, Willie Mays, who led the National League with 345. Ron Mueller hitting left-handed. He's not a long ball hitter, but does a lot of punching. He chokes up well on the handle, feet wide spread apart, stands deep at the plate. Infield on the left side up, expecting a bunch of pitches made to the plate. Low and inside, right down across the shins. That's ball one. The outfield playing Sander on the right, but not too deep. Bobby Avila in the hall at second base is playing deep, but not back as far as the room of the outfield grass. Victor Welch, the Cleveland first baseman, holds Alvin Goff at first base. Alvin has a slight lead. Playing a shallow third is Rosen. He's up almost in the room of the infield grass, expecting that Don Mueller might be trying to drop one down the third baseline, thereby get on. But Mueller right now represents the tying run at the plate for the New York Giants. 2-0 Cleveland. Lemon is ready. Delivers. There's the fastball. Swing on. Hit out into right field. It's going to be in there for a base hit. Bouncing up against the wall. Philly plays it. Mueller holds it. First base. The throw comes in. Alvin Dock legs to third. So Bob Lemon, who gave up 228 hits in the regular American League season, has given up his first World Series baseball. Oh, and it puts him in trouble as the Giants with one down now have the tying runs on. Runners at first and third. Back in the World Series of 1948, Bob Lemon had an earned run average of 1.65. Here is Willie Mays. Here's the guy that a lot of the people here this afternoon have come to see. Willie Mays batting at 345, the National League batting champion, a right-hand hitter, feet wide spread apart. Lemon tries to curve, and Mays is after it and pops it up out into very short center field, going back toward the shortstop Kiplin. He's under it and makes the catch behind center, behind second and center, and the runners hold on. So Mays pops out on his first attempt here this afternoon to the shortstop, George Griffin. Hank Thompson has been a surprise for the New York Giants, playing defensively at third base. He used to be a switch hitter, now exclusively a left-hand batter. Hank Thompson batting a 263 on the regular season. He's hampered somewhat this year by injuries, but was able to be in the lineup when Leo DeRocher needed him most. A short battery conference between Jim Higgin and pitcher Bob Lemon has broken up now, and Jim Higgin comes stomping back behind the plate. We're in the last half of the first innings of the 1954 World Series. The Cleveland Indians are leading 2-0 over the New York Giants, with the Giants having the tying runs on. At third, Alvin Dock, and at first is Don Mueller. Second is open. Al Rosen playing a shallow third base just off the line and just off the third base bag, holding Alvin Dock as close as possible. Lemon delivers to this left-hand hitter. Thompson takes high, and that's ball one. The outfield is fanned around the right and playing deep because Thompson will hit that long ball for you, particularly here at the Polo Grounds. He has hit 26 home runs in the course of the regular season. Lemon leaning forward, takes his time, goes to the top of the stretch, comes down, hesitates, deals off the curve, is low and under the knees on the inside for ball two. Two balls, two strikes. Last half of inning number one. A goodly crowd has come out here to see this one. All the experts have said this points to be one of the great World Series of our time. And, well, we can believe it. When you look down the records of the two ball clubs, they seem to be pretty evenly matched. And they're certainly no strangers to each other, as they have played plenty of exhibition games in spring training coming over for the regular season prior to this set. Lemon ready now, delivers to Thompson. He takes a hitching swing, holds back, and takes the pitch outside for ball three. Lemon will throw a left-hand batter, a lot of that sliding stuff, and a lot of that pink ball. The count is 3-0 on Thompson. Runners at first and third. Second is open. There are two down. The score is Cleveland 2 and the Giants nothing at this particular point. A fastball to Thompson is called through one of the letters for the first called set. 3-1. The count on third baseman, Henry Thompson. Thompson levels that bat off as he stands deep in the plate, 6 feet wide, spread apart. Coming ready, where's that delivered fastball? Come on, a missed first strike. Well, Thompson was after that one. That runs his count to 3-2. Here's a boy who first saw the light of day in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Now makes his home in New York City. First came up with for an opportunity in the majors with the St. Louis Browns, who were then in the American League. Now what's that? In comes the pitch, Thompson swings on from the slow roller, back to first base. Up of his victory work, steps on first and the inning is over. So that's all here in the last half of the first inning for the Giants. They threatened to get no farther than that. No runs, there was one base hit. Two men on, and there were no Cleveland errors. Well, the back end of the first inning still remains, as we have told you, Cleveland leading by the 2 runs. And Al Rosen, playing down there at third base, certainly has been a bulwark on this ball club for the Cleveland Indians. His fighting spirit has meant an awful lot. And Al Rosen wound up the season, as I told you a moment ago, with an even 300 batting average despite the injuries he too had. He's a mighty solid ball player, everybody. One of the best-looking guys you see anywhere, and one of the nice. You can take it for real when he says, from time to time, I've tried a lot of razors, so I'm talking from experience when I say the one piece you left is the only razor that comes through on the two most important times. The shaves look good, and they feel good. Now, that's from Al Rosen. Now, don't you think you're the one piece you left, razor? It's the second inning here at the Polo Grounds in New York City. The Cleveland Indians leading 2-0. And coming up now is the Petty Pride of New Orleans, Louisiana, George Crickley, the very fine fielding shortstop. A little light with the wood, he's batting a 213 on the regular season, but George was out for about 6 weeks with a broken jaw. Well, that could have raised his batting average had he played during that time, or it could have lowered it. It all depends on the face of baseball. The George Crickley calls for the right-hand hitter. I certainly passed up that infield for Cleveland this year. Tom Magley makes the first pitch to him and fires a fastball outside and high for ball one. George Crickley has driven in 37 runs over the period of the regular season and hit 6 home runs in a rather curtailed season for himself in having been out with that broken jaw. A curveball to Crickley is taken and it's over to me for a called strike. One ball and one strike. Cleveland, having scored 2 runs in the top half of the first inning, are leading in the ballgame by that margin. 2-0 over the Giants. Magley delivers again. There's a crooked arm curveball. Crickley trying to bunt it, fouls it back to the screen. So his count moves to 1-2. It's the last third of the Cleveland batting order here in the top half of the second inning. Crickley will be followed by Hegan and then by the good hitting pitcher Bob Lemon. Lopez is pacing back and forth from the steps of the dugout. Oldie boy, silly boy, it looks like a kid grind down there. Sal Magley, settling down his pass now to pitch the Crickley, fires away 1-2, the curveball, swing and a miss for Crickley. So there's the first strikeout. Of the 1954 World Series, it's kept up by Sal Magley. Back in the 1948 World Series, Jim Higgins hit 211. Now you can find that record of Jim Higgins in the Gillette World Series record book. Well, that's a handy book to have around. You get a lot of kick out of it, I know. And Jim Higgin on the regular season this year hit 234, so he's standing in right now. Tom Magley, ready to go. He's gotten one man here in the top half of the second inning, struck him out. Delivers a curve to Higgin, is thrown outside. One ball, no strike. First, as far as strikeouts are concerned, by the various pitches in World Series play, you too can find that in the Gillette World Series record book. But a lot of facts and figures and information. Magley's fastball is swung on, but he didn't pop up right back off the mound, coming in fast forward to third base from Thompson, under the step into the sun, and then makes the catch. Well, that's all for Higgin. We have 2 outs now in the top of the second inning. Bob Lemon coming up to the plate. Bob Lemon moving in. Bob has been left-handed. Despite the fact he's a right-hand pitcher, he's been used on many occasions at Cleveland as a pinch batter. Magley tries his curve on him and misses with it high and outside for ball one. Red Crest down behind first base, coaching there for the Cleveland Indians, hooping and hauling. Wants Bob to get on. Down comes the pitch for him. There's that curveball by Magley low. Ball two. And Thompson playing shallow at third. Right side of the infield playing very deep as David Williams is wanted back on the grass in right field. Now he comes up to play on the limited outfield grass. Loughlin playing back just about as deep. Pulled close to the line. Pitch to Lemon. A short curve. A tantalizing curve over for a false step. Two balls, one strike on Bob Lemon. Beware of number 21 standing at the plate right now. Kyle Madley. Right foot forward. Leaves forward from the mound. Takes his time from Weston. Pump. Hits and throws. Another curveball. Looks and swung on by Lemon and beaten down into the ground foul. Two balls, three strikes on Bob Lemon. Two down, nobody on, top of the second inning. The Cleveland Indians out in front, 2-0. Casey tuned in near the plate. They scored their 2 runs in the top half of the first inning. When after Smith was hit by a pitch ball and the dealer singled him around to second, a bobble in the outfield allowed the Smith to keep on going and move to third. Dick was tripled in the right center to drive in the pair. Now the pitch to the plate to Lemon's a fastball that misses outside for ball three. 3 balls and 2 strikes to count on Bob Lemon. Bob turns around, says something to Weston. They're both game. Al Barlick, the National League of the National League, is the plate umpire here in this one. He's leaning down over the shoulder of Weston to take a look at the next pitch. In it comes, high and outside for ball four. So there's the first base on balls given up by Magley. He walked 70 over the course of the regular season. Bob Lemon, the guy he wanted to get, he lost by the walk. And now the leadoffer, Smith, comes up to the plate. And he too was crunched in the middle of the bat by a pitch ball in the first inning. Sort of set Magley off to a wobbly start. Throw number 35 down there usually warms his pass, and he's been doing it so far. Kicking here in the second inning, struck out. Higgin popped out to third baseman Hunt Thompson. Lemon is now on first base, having been walked. And here is Smith, the pitch hitter, coming in. This guy can even throw that ball from the outfield, too, this year, Smith. Magley tries his curve and misses with it low and just outside. One ball, no strike. Back of the second inning. First game of the 1954 World Series. From the Polo Grounds in New York City. We'll be back right here again tomorrow for the playing of the second one. Magley, second, for the crown. Looks over first base, watches Lemon take his lead. Now he's ready. Delivers a play to curve, and just takes a nice one through there to race first strike. One ball, one strike. Williams has pulled a couple of steps over close to the second. He's playing rather deep behind second. The outfield playing just about straight away to Smith. He can hit the long ball for you. He's pounded 11 home runs over the season. Magley settles down, delivers to him. An overhand curve, but misses just outside and low. 2 balls, 1 strike. Six umpires, 6 men in blue, watching the progress of this ball game. Every one of them a fine umpire. We've seen him work many times over the course of the year. Magley ready. Fires the pitch to pitch. Come on. There's a bounding ball. Hits foul up the third base line. Gets right over near the crowd, right past the third base coach, Tony Cicinello. He's a fine ball player in his day, too, that Cicinello. A fine guy, too. He and his Fred Kress are the two fellows that really have. Fred Kress is the Cleveland coach at first base. This is no Sam's ballpark. The Red Kress, he was here with the Giants, I remember, in 1945 as a coach. Now they 2-2 delivery by Magley. Down comes that pitch. Fast ball swung on and hit foul right back to the screen. That's going up on top of the press boxy. And it's loaded here this afternoon. They've got more people covering this ball game this afternoon than you can take a stick at. Also, we're very happy to know that the ball game is going around the world. All over the world. Almost every available radio station is hooked in this afternoon to the direct cavalcade sports broadcast. Now Magley's ready. Here's the 2-2 delivery. Another hand curve. The zone outside. Missed for ball three. One of the big factors in carrying this ball game around the world, of course, has been the Armed Forces radio station. And they're hooked on with us again today. Here's going to be some activity down in the Giant bullpen. This is where Don Liddy is going to get up again. He's got the throw. Don Liddy, the left-hander. Now the 3-2 puts to the plate. In it by two, missed the set three. Ball got him. On a low curve ball, just about to leave. Well, that's the second strike out here. As far as Magley is concerned, and here in the second inning, no runs, one of their trips to Cleveland. Lemon is walked, he's left at first. There were no errors. So, no runs, no hits, no errors. One man left on. And at the end of 1.5 innings of play, the score is Cleveland 2, the New York Giants, nothing.
Look on, he's got you. 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 He's got you
will atop all the rest. I've got a name man and work, so I reach for my Gillette. Enjoy it, this refreshing day. For a good night, I'm all set.
Remember, friends, right now you'll get the Fatsville Gillette World Series record book free when you buy a Gillette Super Speed Razor set at the regular price, $1. Here in the last half of the second inning for the New York Giants, as they come to bat, we'll have Monty Irvin, followed by Davey Williams, and then by Wes Weston, the catcher. Monty Irvin, batting a 262. In 1951, Monty Irvin hit 458. He's up about 24 times, had 11 bases in a 51 World Series. He's got a star in that World Series, and the Frosty Dunkle has certainly caused him considerable amount of trouble. The first pitch to him is over first step. Bob Lemon, Washington, is batting a 262. Next pitch swung on, hit off the end of the bat foul, rolling back into the giant dugout. So, quickly now, this right-hand hitter has the count of 2. No ball, 2 strikes on Matt Irvin. It is followed by Davey Williams. And we'll have Weston. Bob Lemon with a 2-1 lead to go on. Takes the sign from Jim Higgins. Bob Field playing just about 30 away. But really, house this thing so deep. Good tail is high up above the peak of the cap and looking away from Higgins, bounces all the way back to the stage. Well, that's nobody on base to stop at that. So that'll go as by one. One ball, 2 strikes. Higgins leading in the first game of the World Series. 3-0. Now he's scored twice in the top of the first. Lemon munching around with the peak of the cap. Now stands to take his chance from Higgins. Paul's really good out of pitches now, and he's ready. Marty Irvin is just batting away from his left shoulder. Here comes the pitch. Irvin swings on it and sends a bounding ball off the third base line foul. He's serving with a stand. Third base umpire, Johnny Stevens of the American League, runs over to retrieve it and throws to Herman Frank to reload on in behind Ed Gates. And, of course, the new ball goes to the mound of Bob Lemon. Bob Lemon, pumped right, up over his head he goes, kicks and throws a fastball. And Irvin leaning in there, fastball, snaps his head back to take his chin high for ball two. New ball, 2 strikes from Matt Irvin. First round up here in the last half of the second inning. McKellar leans back. As he steps his cup maker, goes in and gets ready. Fires away 2-2, a curveball, swung on and pumped foul off of the left of the plate. Let's go. Jim Higgins is going to be able to field this one all right. He does, and he's got it. Well, Monty Irvin's out of there. We have the first out, a foul out to Jim Higgins, and Williams is coming on. Now, before Williams steps up there, we call some seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN Chicago, the Chicago Tribune Station.
Now, Davey Williams, who on the regular season batted 222. Right hand hitter takes the fastball, poured through by Lemon for a called strike, just right off the belt buckle on the inside slice. This is the guy the Cleveland Indians had a whale of a lot of trouble getting out in the spring exhibition game. He liked to wear the Cleveland pitching out. Pitcher in the corner on there is a bounding ball hit the third. Rosen on one half is up with a close first base to Vic Woods in time, and Davey Williams is out number two. So, as they said, the first 5-3 ground out, if you're scoring with this afternoon. Wes Westrum, a 187 hitter over the course of the regular season, is coming on to face this 23-game winner, Bob Lemon. Bob, as Jim Dudley told you, won 23 ball games and lost 7. Of the 12 shutouts the Cleveland Indians sat from this year, Bob Lemon counted the 2 of them. Bob out there on the mound right now, ready to pitch to Wes Westrum. Wes Westrum, powerful hitter, good set of wrists. The kind of guy that'll give you the long ball. Quite often. He either hits him a country mile or he doesn't hit him at all. And he'll poke the long ball into the stand for you. He's hit 8 home runs this year. Lemon's fastball is low and outside for ball 1 to Weston. Herman Frank's putting on the signs down behind third. He's relaying from the bench from Leo DeRozier. Weston checks with him and steps back in as Lemon comes down with the next pitch, a curveball, and there's an unintentional foul back as Weston tried to check his swing, but the ball hit the bat and went back anyway. So that'll run his count to 1-1. In the 1951 World Series, Wes Westrum hit 235. Now we're ready for the next pitch on Wes. 1-1 delivery is a fastball outside. Two balls, one strike. Bob Lemon, going to pitching here this afternoon for Cleveland, has gotten past two men here in the second inning. Bases are empty. Delivers, Weston clean, takes one shot, hit right past third, down into the corner. Jeff Weston is going to first base, takes his turns in the left and inside and holds on. Just coming up nicely with him left field. Weston's still back in to the first about Stiffen. Now Weston, fingers here in the second inning, it's two down. That's the number two off Lemon. Here's Sal Magley coming up. Weston hit that ball so hard and so rapidly down the left field line, he kicked off the left field wall. He had no chance to try to make two out of it. The ball was in the hands of Smith, and he told you Smith had a very fine arm, and he yielded him to put the Weston had to hold the first. The first pitch to Tom Mackey was low curveball, and he starts to go for a twice to second swing, but he soon up around on it, so it's called against him. Right on the count on Mackey. Mackey right hand hit a big wide spread of fire. Lemon sets, delivers, and it's way up above the peak of the trap, the ball one. Lemon almost had that ball get away from him. He doesn't want to use it anymore and passes it back to Higgins. Now Barley takes a look at it and said, unpass it here, let's use a lure. Well, new ball is five to the mound, 11. He runs around out there, sounds it around in the palms of his hands. Weston, the base runner, to the ground, trying to first base. Here in the last half of the second inning, he's two down, and it's 4-0 in favor of Cleveland. Tom Mackey up at the plate with the count of one ball, one strike. And in the mound, hitting the ground quarter. Now Lemon is ready to pitch there. Down it comes. Mackey takes low and outside. That's all through. Victor Wake isn't holding West Weston on. West isn't very much of a threat to go down the second base in the big hole. He's rather a lumbering guy in a way. But Wake can pick him up and lay him down. Surprise you, yeah. Wake is quite right back to his feeling that. Bagley, that's off the fastball and takes it to the knees and pass him. It didn't take that. Good ball, three strikes on Mugley. Two outs, one on here in the second inning. Then the delivers another home curve. Come on, a missed ball for three. And that's all for Sam Mugley. And it's all for the Giants here in the second inning. As the Cleveland got handy, he took 110 strikeouts into the season and up for his position. So here in the second inning for the Giants. Like that, but no more. No runs, there was one base hit. That's been one tough single in the left half dozen. Well, you know, Eric, one man is left on. It's certainly three of them up on now by the Giants. Well, it's off the end of two innings to play now. It's season two and the New York Giants nothing. And we move along into the top half of inning number three. And Bobby Avila will be the first to the rest of Cleveland. Bobby will follow him and then will come Rosen. After the mound goes from Margie to work to Bobby Avila, he's singing to Red Center Field. Little Dunker dropped in there. And just galloping along, moved on over the third on the single, and an error drive to the ground out here. We had only one error in the ball game so far. But Billy's sunlight continues to beat down here. Everyone is sitting back and enjoying this one to its fullest extent. While West Weston is getting on the shoes, Rusty Rhodes came up there and took the big mitt and warmed up down that. He's one of the big guys on this ball club. Also, another big fella sitting on the bench back there, and he may be in sports all over. He's got him in the Bill Taylor. He's there. He's a big guy. 6'4", a giant in a giant uniform. That's in the World Series record book, too. When Chuckie gives you the age, weight, height, another important fact about every player in the Major League. You get this book, too, with a new 1-3 level as here at the regular price. Down, my dear, now. Ready to take care of the other one. Now he's all set. But he's had to go. Quick and clear. Big curveball. It slides off low and outside. Maggie seems to be throwing a fast curveball of his more than I've seen it all season long. Well, all his kids because he has three curves, slow, slower, and slower. But he's been snapping them off here this afternoon. Comes in again, there's a fastball, swung on by the air. There's a high pop up in foul territory directly behind the plate. Wilson is under it. He's got it. Well, we have out number one here to commence the top half of the third inning. Bobby Beeler calling out to Westwestern. The batter coming up to the plate now is Ray Dobie, who with runners at first and third and nobody out in the first inning, fouled up and out to third baseman Hank Thompson. On deck to go next will be Flip Rosen, Al Rosen. 2-0 ball game in favor of the Cleveland Indians. Ray Dobie hitting left-handed, the world number 14 stepping in. Magley whistles the pitch in there to him, and Dobie takes it outside. That's ball one. Dobie standing almost straight up and down as he gets ready. Stands just off the plate, crowds up. Thompson playing a shallow third and pulled out a little bit towards second. Magley throws the fastball and misses outside, shoulder high for ball two. 2-0, the count on Dobie with one down here in the top of the third inning. No base runners, Cleveland leading 2-0. Wind continues to blow in from behind left field, directly across the diamond, about behind right now. Magley sets. Delivers 2-0. Dobie swings, hits the ground ball to second base. Williams in front of it, unerringly close to first in time, and that's all for Dobie. Well, we have two up, two down quickly here for Cleveland in the top half of the third inning. And now Al Rosen, who popped up in the first inning, popped up to Wally Lockman just off the first baseline. Al Rosen, 0 for 1, a right-hand hitter. Rosen standing in, beats the plate, left foot forward to it, and over the close stand. Takes the curveball as he backs off and sends that good at the knees for a strike. Two down, nobody on, top of the third inning. Tom Magley apparently getting a little stronger as he goes along. Delivers the curve and Rosen swings and dribbles one up the third baseline foul. Rosen's count strike two. Tony Cuccinello retrieving that ball and firing it in. Rosen picks it up off the ground, hands it to Al Barlick, and he tosses it out. Magley with a new apple out there on the mound, has it rubbed and ready. Outfield fan around the left and playing deep for Rosen. Rosen hit that long one for him. 24 home runs he's poked this year. Swings on a fastball. Fast curve and hits the foul off of the right of the plate. Down holding on him, strike two. A ball, two strikes. Two down, top of the third, no base running. Magley works. A curve swung on and hit deep to shortstop. Alvin Dyke off to his right. Up with it. Hurries to throw to first base in time. And that is all for Rosen. Nice play by Alvin Dyke. Well, three up and three down here in the top half of the third inning. And for the first time, the Cleveland Indians go down in 1-2-3 order with nothing across. And the score at the end of 2.5 innings of play, Cleveland 2 and the New York Giants nothing. Well, I've got a hunch that you fans would like to hear from Dodger softball rookie Carl Spooner, who crashed through with 2 National League records in his first 2 Major League games. He pitched 2 consecutive shutouts and struck out 27 men. He's right here with me now. Carl, how did it feel to mow down 15 of those champion Giants the first time out?
Well, it sure was a big day for me, Al.
And now tell them how you feel about a shaving cream shave with the Gillette Super Speed Razor.
That gives me a great lift, too, Al. A fresh, clean shave does it for me.
Well, thank you very much, Carl Spooner. That's the Gillette Super Speed Razor he uses. A mighty big package of shaving comfort for just $1. The Gillette World Series record book is attached, and it's free. All right, we go into the last half of the third inning here, with the leadoff man coming up for the New York Giants, Whitey Lockman. Whitey Lockman stepping in here for his second at-bat of the afternoon. He came up in the first inning and tried to bunt his way on, a surprise play, as it was figured to be, and was thrown out by second baseman Bobby Avila, who came in with a barehanded play, fielded and fired the first in time to get him. So it's the last half of the third inning with the Giants trailing here by the score of 2-0. Jimmy Dudley, we've seen some pretty good baseball so far, well, haven't we?
You're absolutely right, Al, and it's going to boil down to just what the experts said, a real pitcher's battle all the way in just about every game.
Well, we have a couple of veterans blown out here this afternoon that are well-respected in their respective leagues. Well, let's see what happens here in the last half of the third inning. Bob Lemon, 23-game winner for Cleveland, takes the mound to pitch to Whitey Lockman, left-handed hitting first baseman of the Giants. This time, Whitey takes the pitch, and it's low and outside for ball one. Whitey gave no indication to what he was going to do that time. Outfield fan around the right, playing rather deep for Whitey, particularly silly in right field. Lemon comes in with an overhand fastball. It's low. It's ball two. Whitey Lockman from Lowell, North Carolina, now lives in Matthews, North Carolina. Lemon set. California right-hander delivers. An overhand fastball. A third right through at the knees for a called strike. Two and one on Whitey Lockman. Last half of third inning here at the Polo Grounds, New York City. Very ideal day for the fall classic. Shirtsleeve weather. An overhand curve to Lockman. In there, nice paper called strike two. Whitey was going to swing at that one and changed his mind at the last minute. Lemon, who is a master with that curveball and that sinker, also the slider. So he's been pitching a fine ball game here today, so far. Throws a curve, and what he swings on, there is a line shot hitting the right field, dropped in for the base hit in front of Philly. And Lockman here in the third leads off with a single to right. And now here comes Alvin Bott. That's hit number three off Bob Lemon. Hit number five in the game as the Cleveland Indians off Magley, who got off to a shaky start, got a pair in the first inning, a single and a triple. Just having had one man hit by the pitch, back in a pair of runs in, worth tripling them in. Now the Giants are trying to battle their way back here in the last half of this third inning. Lemon, with the chips down, leans forward, takes the sign. Alvin Dodd, who walked in the first inning, still with his pregame batting percentage of 293. Takes a curve low for ball one. With the percentages we're giving you, are the percentages over the regular season. Now, back in the 1951 World Series, you'll find in the World Series record, well, that's the World Series record book, Alvin Dodd hit through 92. Bob Lemon is set now. Checks his runner at first. Good as the plate. There is the fastball low. Two balls, no strikes. The count on Alvin Dodd. Our attention starts to come out a little higher here, particularly amongst the fans who are anticipating perhaps the Giant rally. We're not sure to state that the Giants go into this World Series as the underdog. Also, the experts just picked Cleveland to win the classic. Of course, all of that remains to be seen. As long as the guy is up there swinging, he's dangerous. Pitch a swing on by Doc. There's a shot on the ball foul off the third baseline. Two balls, one strike on Alvin Dodd. Giants have one man on here in the last half of third. That's Whitey Lockman. He rifled one into right field for a single. He's the base runner, Freddie Fitzsimmons coaching there. And the umpire watching the play at first base is Charlie Berry. Charlie Berry, former major leaguer himself, football star, an official, coach, and now a very fine umpire. Bob Lemon leans forward, takes the sign from Higgins, checks his runner back over his shoulder. Wheels the pitch into the plate, fastball swung on the dock and fouled right up over our microphone. Two balls and two strikes, the count on Alvin Dodd. New ball goes in play now. Bob Lemon standing out at the mound. Looks around, checks his outfield. Busily rubbing this ball up so he can work the dot. One man on for the Giants here in the last of the third. There are no outs. Whitey Lockman led off with a single right. Richard Wirtz isn't holding him too tight. He's a couple steps back at his fielding gap. Now the pitch. Dark swings on a low curveball and just does hit the foul. That holds the two balls, two strikes now. We'll watch Whitey Lockman. He may be gone. He's always a threat to charge down the base paths. The Giants, you know, in the regular season, stole 29 bases. The Cleveland Indians stole 30. So there's a pretty good comparison of how these two ball clubs run. Now we're set for the pitch on Alvin Dodd. Lockman stole only one base during the regular season, credited with one steal. Fastball swung on by Doc. There's a high pop-up off the first baseline going back near the stands in foul territories, into the stands and out of play. Two balls, two strikes. That's down on Alvin Doc as he comes back, picks up that brown Betsy of his and gets ready to go to work again. So in this ball game, holding right on, a 2-0 favorite Cleveland. They've made it hold up since the first inning, but the Giants here in the third are threatening with Whitey Lockman at first. The Giants are stranded 3 so far in the ballgame. Now we're set. Down comes the pitch. Low and outside. Whitey Lockman bluff going to second base. Jim Higgin looked up to see if he was on the move. But Whitey fooled him. He stayed right at first. 3-2 count now on Alvin Dark. Now let's see what Whitey Lockman's going to be doing. He'll probably be off and moving with the plate with motion of Bob Lemon's right arm. We'll keep a tab on him for you to see if he's going to be galloping. Alvin Dark, pretty good hit and run man up at the plate. He can hit behind that runner pretty well. Lockman takes his lead. 3-2 pitch. Yep, there goes Lockman. Pitch is swung on. And hit back to the middle and the center field for a base hit. Whitey Lockman keeps on galloping. Derby picks up, throws into second. We have runners at first and third. Just got through telling you that Alvin Dark was a pretty good hit and run man, and he comes through on the 3-2 count. Slams one into center field, and now the Indian infield will probably draw up tight. We'll see. Runners at first and third. The tying runs are on for the Giants here in the last half of this third inning. Nobody out. Rosen comes in to play a shallow third base just off third, holding Whitey Lockman close. The second base combination of Avila and Strickland go to double play depth. Wirtz holds the runner, Alvin Dark, at first base. Up at the plate is Don Mueller. The pitch to Don is a fastball under the knee. Down in the bullpen for Cleveland, Art Houdeman gets up and starts to throw. Don Mueller, who singled the right field in the first inning, would very much now like to atone for the error he committed in the very first inning, allowing a runner to go from second to third. An overhand curveball swung on by Don, hit down to second base. Avila up with it and goes back to Strickland at second for the out. As a run comes in to score, there's no throw to first. So Don Mueller gets credit for batting in the first run of the ball game. Comes in on the force out of Alvin Dark, the play going from Bobby Avila, the second baseman, to George Strickland at second base. There's no throw on the first. So it's now a 2-1 ball game. Give Don Mueller credit for batting in the run. He wrapped in 70 over the course of the regular season. So all the time, run remains on as manager Al Lopez comes out to have a word or two with his pitcher, Bob Lemon. Higgin is going over to talk with him now. With one away, the Giants have a tying run on at first base, and Willie Mays, the National League batting champion, is coming up. Mays, who in the first inning popped up and out for the shortstop, George Strickland. So it could be tightened right down here in the last half of the third inning. Or Cleveland could hold the lead they now possess of one run. Al Lopez asking instructions from Al Barlick, plate umpire. They're discussing some rule or other. Now Al Lopez, very much satisfied with the explanation of the entire affair, turns and goes off of the Cleveland dugout. Bart Holloman continues to flow down in the Cleveland bullpen, strong on right-hander. Now, Willie Mays coming up to the plate, hitting right-handers. He's 0-1 today. Curveball thrown into the dirt on the outside to Willie for ball one. Don Mueller, who is much faster on the base paths than you think, is leading off at first, and Vic Wirtz is holding the inside corner on him. Freddie Fitzsimmons coaching Don Mueller off. Lemon into his position now, checks his runner at first, delivers the plate. Low one outside to Willie Mays for ball two. Very unfortunately for Don Mueller, in 1951, a broken leg kept him from participating in the World Series. However, he's getting his opportunity in playing in this one. He leads off at first now. The pitch to the plate is made. Mays jumps back from one at the knees inside for ball three. You never know, as you see the pitcher spin one down from the rubber, the home plate, whether it might be the deciding pitch in the ball game. Sometimes when you go back over to retrospect, that happens to be the pitch and you didn't realize it. Curveball is low and outside to Mays for ball four. So Mays walks. That's the second base on ball surrendered by Lemon. Now the tying run. And Mueller has been pushed on down to second. Now the batter is Hank Thompson. Third baseman Hank Thompson ended the inning in the first by rolling wide to first base, and Victor Wirtz gobbled it up. Reached over, stepped on first, and the inning was over as far as the Giants were concerned. They had a pretty good threat going at the time. So here's Thompson moving in again, hitting left-handed. Stands deep, feet wide, spread apart. George Strickland, in to say a word to pitcher Bob Lemon, turns and trots back to his shortstop position. We've got a 2-1 ball game going here now in the last half of the third inning. Giants trying run at second, in Don Mueller. Rosen playing a shallow third to this left-hand hitter. And the first pitch comes in. Thompson takes it low inside for ball one. Down in the bullpen, Art Hottaman continues to claw even harder. Get ready, just in case Bob Lemon should falter here in what looks at this moment to be a rather important third inning as far as the Giants are concerned. Lemon gets set. Delivers a fastball. Thompson swings and doesn't get it. Mr. Bob Lemon's the kind of guy who isn't afraid to come in with a pitch he believes to be best in the clutch. He's a very fine competitor. This whole Cleveland Ball Club this year sort of caught fire. They've been fine competitors over the entire route. Lemon is ready now. Delivers. Thompson takes a lot of curve inside. Oh, well, let's see. That'll be 2 balls, 1 strike. On Hank Thompson, one out for the Giants here in the last half of the third. They scored one time, and it's 2-1 in favor of Cleveland. Lemon out there bowing his neck, trying to hold the one-run advantage his mates have given him. Don Mueller, representing the tying run for the Giants, leads down off second. Willie Mays, who can fly, usually runs off from under his cap, leading off at first. Pitch the plate, Thompson swung on. There's a bounding ball hit the right field for a base hit. Here comes Don Mueller. His throw is to try to cut Willie Mays off at third. He slides over there, and he's there safely. The ball game's tied up. Bob Lemon gives up hit number 5, a single to right field to Hank Thompson. Hank drives in the second Giant run. Willie Mays, shooting right out from under his cap, made it to third, beat Philly slow. And of course, the run coming in from second, carried by Don Mueller, scores easily to lock it all up. And here's Monty Irvin with one out, runners at first and third, up at the plate. Lemon curves him. Monty takes the pitch outside and low. He started to go for it, checked himself in time, take ball one. Monty Irvin started the second inning for the Giants by fouling up and out to catcher Jim Higgins. So we've got a brand new ball game right here at the Polo Ground. Giants threatening to break the tie with Willie Mays on the third base. Pitch the plate to Monty Irvin. The fastball fired through under the letters. Good for strike. Count is 1-1. Bob Lemon in trouble. No one knows it any better than Bob does. Texas runner at third, delivers, Monty Irvin swings on a medium-speed fastball, and there he got it. That's strike two. One ball and 2 strikes, the count on Monty Irvin. Here's another situation where a sacrifice fly can get in the run, and of course will not be charged with a time at bat to Monty Irvin should that fly ball be forthcoming. So Lemon is bearing down here in the clutch, and it is the clutch as far as he's concerned. Thompson leading away from first. The pitch is swung on. There's a high foul ball hit back to the first section. Rolls down the screen, back down on the playing field. Willie Mays, hugging right close there to third base. Herman Franks is keeping him there. He's the third base coach for the Giants. Rosen is playing deep behind third now. Pulled a couple steps off the line. The outfield fan around the left and deep. George Strickland, deep in the hole at shortstop. Bobby Avila pulled over a couple steps toward second base and holding on to first base. Keep the runner close. Victor Wirtz. Willie Mays takes his lead at third and wanders back toward third as Lemon pitches. Swung on and missed. Ball strike three. And that's all for Monty Irvin. That was the big out for Lemon to be getting. That's his second strikeout here this afternoon. And before the next man comes up to the plate, that'll be Davey Williams. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN Chicago, the Chicago Tribune station, your exclusive World Series station.
Ready to go back to work here now with Bob Lemon stepping up to pitch to Davey Williams. Davey, who bounced down to third base, was thrown out the second inning by Cliff Rosen. Runners at first and third. The pitch to Williams is over the knees. Nicely for a called strike. Davey Williams, who over the course of the regular season in the National League batted .222. He had quite a time with his batting average. But the kid never complained. Stayed in there day after day and did the best he could. Now Lemon ready. Delivers a curve. Williams strides in and takes it. High and outside. Count is 1-1 on him now. A couple of guys in the Cleveland roster took their bumps and their aches and pains and said nothing either. Larry Doby played quite a bit of a season with a pulled thigh muscle. Al Rosen did the same. He also had a broken finger. He played in the All-Star game with a broken finger. George Strickland, a broken jaw, but he stayed right with it. Third ball swung on, but Williams bounced past the mound to shortstop. Strickland in, picks up, throws to first in time, and Williams is out to retire the side. So it's a 6-3 ground out, short first. So here in the third inning, the New York Giants come balling right back with a pair of runs. Had 1-2-3 base hits. 2 runs, 3 base hits. No errors, there were 2 men left on. That means they're stranded 5 and going to bat 3 times. So the score at the end of the third inning of play now is the visiting Cleveland Indians 2, the homestanding New York Giants 2.
Look sharp, feel sharp, be sharp and listen, mister. How are you fit for play? Do you have plenty? How are you fit for play? You better check. Please make sure you have enough.
Of a worn out blade makes shaving mighty tough.
How are you fit for play? Better look.
Victor Wirtz here at the Polo Grounds is going to be the first man up for the Cleveland Indians to start the fourth inning in a brand new ball game, all tied at 2-2. It was the bat of Victor Wirtz back in the first inning when he wrapped his triple off the right center field wall to score a pair of runs. It was Victor Wirtz who put the Cleveland Indians out in front. And now the wearer of number 23, a left-hand hitter, is coming up to the plate for his second at-bat. He has 1 hit, 4-1 try. Tom Ackley has been placed back on an even footing with Bob Lemon as these two veteran right-handers go at each other here this afternoon in the first game of the 51st World Series. Victor Wirtz moving in. Overly closed stance wears a shin guard on his right leg to protect it. He used to foul so many foul balls down off that shin that he devised the protection. Ackley's first pitch to him is just a little outside for ball one. Wirtz to be followed by Philly and then by shortstop George Strickland, who rolled along in the top of the fourth inning. Magley ready, delivers that ticket on curveball and gets it in there for a strike. I guess quite a kick. I know as Jimmy Dudley does, out of the motion of Sal Magley. He sort of keeps that elbow crooked. It gives you the idea that he's throwing with a crooked arm. An overhand curve this time swung on by Wirtz, comes out in the left field, it's in there for the base hit. Victor Wirtz goes down to first and holds on as Monty Irvin comes up with the ball and fires it into Alvin Dock at second. So Wirtz opens the fourth, hitting an outside pitch and dumping it into left field. See, that's only the third hit. It has been given up now by Sal Magley. We've had 8 hits in the ball game all told. So the potential tie-breaking run for Cleveland is on as Wirtz opens here in the fourth with a single. That brings on Dave Philly, who retired to side in the first with a fly ball to right field. He's hitting left-handed against Magley. Swings on the first pitch and dribbles one back to the mound. Magley's off. His only play will go back to Lockman. And Philly is out with Dave Wirtz, or rather with Vic Wirtz, moving on the play over to second base. So he represents the tie-breaking run now at second. He's in scoring position. That wasn't a bunt by Philly. He was swinging away. Magley to Lockman for the put-out. We have one out and George Strickland, who struck out in the second inning, getting Sal Magley his first strikeout of the game. Moving in. Philly is stepping off at second base now. Thompson playing a shallow third to Strickland. As the pitch is made, fired across the knees by Magley for strike one call. George Strickland, tall and slender. New Orleans, Louisiana. Strickland, feet wide, spread apart. Magley over his head, checks his runner over his right shoulder, delivers the plate, fast curve, swung on. There's a bounding ball hit down the dark. He's up with it, throws across the diamond in time, and George Strickland is out. Wirtz, of course, on the play, holding right on at second as it was being made right in front of him. Alvin Dark's had a couple of tough chances, going deep in the hole over to his right. He's made the play. George Strickland has had two hard plays, and bounding balls hit right at his feet. He's come up with them nicely. So, all in all, we've had some pretty sparkling plays on the infield here so far. In some cases, they have been routine plays, but the boys have made them look good. Here's Jim Hegan, who came up in the second inning and was out number 2 in that inning by popping up and out to third baseman Hank Thompson just off to the left of pitcher's mound. Jim Hegan moving in. batting number 8 in the order. He's from Lynn, Massachusetts, where he was born. Now lives out in Lakewood, Ohio. Takes first pitch in the cross seam. Forward in there for knees for strike. Two down, one on. Lickworth's opened with a single dumped into left field. Moved down to second on the infield ground out by Dave Philly, and he's still there. Still 2-2 ball game. We're in the top of the fourth inning, the polo ground. The third ball is taken and thrown through by catcher Weston, trying to get the runner. But not in time. The ball scooting away from Williams, goes on out into short center field. So Victor Works decides he better hold right on at second. There'll be no error on the play. Weston was just trying to pick the man off at second base. He thought Works had a pretty good lead. So the count is 1-1 now on Jim Hegan. There's Works taking his lead again at second. Jim Hegan standing at the plate with a count of 1-1. Sal Magley shakes off the sign offered by Weston. Shakes it off again. Once more he shakes it off. Now he's ready. Well, he and Weston have gotten together, and Jim Hegan decides they're taking too much time and steps away from the plate. Count on Jim Hegan, the Cleveland catcher, is 1-1. Second time up, and he's 0-1. Down comes the pitch. Curveball swung on to Hegan and popped up. There's Alvin Dark at shortstop. Waiting for it to come down. He's got it. That's all for Cleveland here in the fourth inning. They opened with a single to the left hit by Vic Wirtz. He got down to second, but that's as far as he could get. No runs, one hit for Cleveland, their third of the ball game. There were no errors by the Giants, and one man left on. Cleveland is now standing at 3 and going to bat in 4 innings. So the score at the end of 3.5 innings of play now remains Cleveland 2, the New York Giants 2. Well, men, when you just plain had it, you know it's really something what a quick, bracing shaving cream shave with a modern Gillette Super Speed Razor can do for you. Well, maybe it won't take the place of a good night's sleep, but it sure gives you a fast shift in the high. Do you want easy, good-looking shaves? Do you want to start out your day or step out at night really refreshed? Well, then get yourself a Gillette Super Speed. It's made all in one piece. It changes blades and rinses clean in a jiffy, the most convenient razor ever. $1 buys it complete with blue blade dispenser and styrene travel case. What's more, right now, you'll get the new 112-page Gillette World Series record book with it free. While they last, that is, and they're going fast. Now to the last half of inning number 4 here in the first game of the 54 World Series. Still all tied up at 2-2. Wouldn't want a better kickoff game than the one we're having here this afternoon. Couple of veteran right-handers going against each other. Bob Lemon for the Cleveland Indians, a 23-7 record for the year, and Sal Magley, a 14-6 record, both pitchers having pitched shutouts over the course of the regular season. Both of them in their respective leagues called Mr. Tough when the chips are down, and they proved it here this afternoon. The first line up for the Giants, the number 8 hitter in the order, Wes Westrum. He sent a line shot single down the third base line between Al Rosen and third base out in the left field corner when he came up back in the second inning. Lemon throws him the overhand fastball, and Weston after pops it into foul territory off to the right of the plate. I don't think anybody's going to get to that group. That's back into the stands out of play. Victor Works and Jim Hegan both giving it a big rundown. So, the last half of the fourth inning, as Weston still standing at the plate with a count of strike one. For the Giants, 2 runs on 5 hits, they've committed an error right up to now, and for the Cleveland Indians, 2 runs on 3 hits off Maggie, they have not committed an error. Lemon gets set, looks at Weston. Pitching the 0-1 pitch, a curveball. Swung on and hit past those, not into third base. Up past third base in the left field, and Weston once again has singled the left. Well, there's hit number 6 off Lemon. Weston has picked up 1/3 of them. He's had 2. Weston leads off for the Giants in the fourth with a single to left field. Al Rosen dived at that ball, but he couldn't come up with it. Right past his glove and out into left. In about an hour, Sal Magley. Sal struck out the second inning, one of the 2 strikeouts affected by Lemon. Weston leads at first. The pitch is made to the plate, expecting to bunt. The infield charges in. There's the attempted bunt that's missed for a strike. Sal will be watching Weston. He's got to play it safely, too, at first base. Magley's got to get a hold of that ball, or it could be plenty of trouble. Infield pulled in, expecting the bunt again. Lemon delivers. Magley squares off to bunt the ball and then takes the pitch outside. And that's ball 1. One ball and one strike. Count on Sal Magley. He's been sent up to the plate, apparently to get that runner down to second. Ready Fitzsimmons coaching down there. He's talking Wester Moff at first. In comes the pitch. And there's the curve outside as Magley drops the bunt and takes the pitch again. Two balls, one strike. A little tense situation right now. 2-2 ball game between Cleveland and New York. The Indians have the Tommyhawks out. The Giants apparently wearing their hard hats. Got on fastball and is bunted down the first baseline to triple foul. So that's strike two on Sal Magley in the big danger of a bunt. Goes by the boards now as to bunt foul on the third one. It's a strikeout. Still, you never know about Leo DeRocher. He's very unpredictable. He's liable to order Maggie to go ahead and bunt at this one. We'll have to watch that play before he makes sure. Let's see what West Western's going to be doing. Right now, taking no lead at first. Wirtz on the inside corner holding him. Rosen, he's still expecting the bunt. He's playing a shallow third. Press to the infield. That is the second base combination to move back. Hoping, of course, for a chance to get a twin Kelly. There is the attempted bunt, missed completely in strike three. So, DeRocher kept it on. Magley is out. That for Lemon is his third strikeout. An attempted bunt was missed completely. So, Western is still at first. We have one out here in the last half of the fourth inning on the New York Giants, and Whitey Lockman coming up for his third at-bat of the day. He's 1-for-2. Tried to bunt one past the mound in the first inning. Was successful in that, but Bobby Avila coming in fast, scooped up and throwed to first. Through to first, and that was all for Whitey Lockman. Whitey singled the right then in the third inning to lead the inning off, and later came around to score and hit back through the middle and a force out. Lockman batting left-handed. Started off today, that is his regular season, hit 251. Takes fastball, fired by Lemon under the knees, 4-1. Outfield playing fan around the right to Whitey. The old man playing deep in the outfield is Dave Philly, the right fielder. He's playing straightaway right, playing deep. Victor Woods partway back to his fielding depth with his left hand hitter up there. Western leads it first. Lemon pitches, Lockman swings and beats it into the ground foul. Last half of inning number four, the first game of the 54 series. All tied up at 2-2. Giants with one out have a potential tie-breaking run on at first in West Western, who opened with his second straight single at the left field. Lockman standing in, straight up and down, almost like a chocolate soldier. Now leans over the plate slightly. Lemon to the top of the stretch. Checks his runner at first. Delivers the play to curve. Whitey Lockman swings. There's a bounding ball hit to Vic Wirtz. He picks it up, looks at second. No chance to get the runner at second. Steps on first for the out on Whitey Lockman. So there's the second out, and Westrum has moved down to take station at second in scoring position. Coming up to the plate now, hitting right-handed, is Alvin Dark. Alvin hit behind, rather not behind, but hit into center field, right up the backbone of the diamond. And Whitey Lockman was on at first base. In the third inning, moved Whitey all the way around third. Alvin Dark standing in. Lemon checks his runner, delivers the plate, medium speed curveball. It whistles along outside for ball one. Doc looks around at Herman Franks to take the sign. Lemon leaning forward in that characteristic pose of his. Left hand on his left knee. Ball hidden behind his back. Now he's ready. Delivers a curve. Doc swings. Hits the ball wide of third. Rosen's out. Picks up. Here's his throw to first base. Not in time. Doc takes it out. Weston takes third. And the Giants have runners at first and third. Very nice stop by third baseman Al Rosen to keep that ball from going into left field. But he couldn't recover himself in time. And it goes as a base hit. So Alvin Dark gets his second base hit. He is 2-for-2 officially. So Western is down at third. Alvin Dark is at first. Two outs. Hit number 7 off Lemon. Check me on that, Jim. Is that hit number 7? That's right, isn't it?
Hit number 7, Al.
Coming up to the plate now is Don Mueller, who has one of the 7 base hits. Got that back in the first inning. Has a golden opportunity here to put the Giants out in front. As with 2 down, they have runners at first and third. Second is open. Lemon delivers. Mueller swings. There's a bounding ball to Victor Wirtz, who down on one knee, picks it up, reaches over in 2 steps, plants his foot on first base, and that is all for Mueller. Well, that's all for the Giants here in the fourth inning.
No runs. They had two base hits, stranded two. There were no errors. So let's see. There'll be two, four, six, seven men the Giants have left on here and going to bat four times. And the score at the end of the fourth inning remains the New York Giants 2 and the visiting Cleveland Indians 2. Well, October is a month when good sportsmanship is evident all around us, not only in our World Series and our football games, but also in the community chess drive that comes at this time of the year. This is your opportunity, friends, to be a good sport by helping those in need. Many, many deserving families in every typical community are helped directly by Red Feather agencies each year. And in the long run, all of us are helped because these agencies do so much to make our community a safer, health-better place to live in. When the drive comes in your neighborhood, won't you please give generously to your community? Ready for the fifth inning now. It'll be Bob Lemon to be the first man up. Bob will be followed by the top of the batting order, Al Smith. And then will come Bobby Avila. We still have a 2-2 ball game cooking along here at the Polo Grounds. And the fans are really getting a kick out of this one. I sincerely hope that around the world, you folks are enjoying the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports broadcast also. Now here in the fifth inning, Bob Lemon, who walked back in the second, coming up for his first official at-bat, hitting left-handed. Magley tries his first pitch, gets it in there low for ball one. Magley locked in this pitching duel with Bob Lemon, to whom he is pitching right now. Starts his motion, delivers 1-0. The fastball is under the knees for ball two to Lemon. The outfield for Lemon is fanned around to right, playing him deep. Well, hitting home runs, Lemon can do that too. Magley up over his head, kicks and throws. The curveball, fast curve, is off the inside corner, right on the inside corner, just off the belt. Strike one. 2-1, the count on Bob Lemon. It's Cleveland's leadoff man here in the fifth inning in the 2-2 ball game. Magley fires away at that plate, 2-1. Curveball is over for a strike two call. Magley back to visit the rosin bag, snaps it away. Grinds that ball around the palms of his hand, slips his glove back on. Lemon waits for him very patiently, standing about three quarters deep, straight away. The 2-2 pitch by Magley. An overhand curveball swung on by Lemon and beaten foul into the ground. Now it holds, two balls, two strikes. Cue ball in play as it's walked partially back to the mound. Magley will go back and finish scuffing it up as much as the law allows. He'll be getting ready. 2-2 count here on Bob Lemon, top half of the fifth inning, first man up for Cleveland. Here's the pitch. 2-2, fastball swung on and hit the straightaway center field. There goes Mays back, still going back under it, missed the catch. There's no basket catch that time for Willie. He had to reach up over his head to make the catch on that one. Lemon lining out to center field to Willie May. So we have one out here in the top half of the fifth inning. That brings on Al Smith. He's coming up for his third time this afternoon. These New York Giants, you know, have played in quite a few World Series. Today's game makes the 77th series game the Giants have played in. So they've played more World Series games than any other National League team in modern baseball. It's all in the Gillette World Series record book, a real sharp collection of baseball dope. Sure hope you're going to get your copy now. Al Smith taking the first pitch for ball one. Stands there, pumps that bat nervously as Sal Magley comes down with the next pitch. So it's a curve in off the hips for ball two. One out here for the Indians in the top of the fifth inning. No base runners. Score still rides at two apiece. Cleveland scored in the top of the first inning on a pair of runs. And in case you tuned in with us late, Smith, the leadoff man, was hit with a pitch. He was singled down to second base, and when a bobble came in the outfield, but Don Mueller, he kept on going to third. Then after Derby fouled out and Rosen popped out, Wirtz tripled him home off the right center field wall. There's a pitch to the plate now. Under the knees to Smith. His count is 3-0. Then the Giants came back in the third inning. Lockman led off with a single. And on the 3-2 count, Alvin Dark hit back through the middle to put Lockman at third. Mueller got one run in when he forced Whitey Lockman at second from Avila to Strickland. Then after Mays had walked, Thompson singled the right field to drive in another run, and Mueller scored. There's a curveball over for a strike. Fast curveball, just a little wrinkle, and the count is 3-1. Three balls, one strike on Al Smith, the leadoff man, with one out here in the top of the fifth inning. So a 2-2 ball game is still moving along. Sal Magley taxi sign from Western. Here's the 3-1 delivery. Third in there for strike. LaSalle didn't go to the fastball. He flipped the curve. The count is 3-2 on left fielder Al Smith of Cleveland. He's 0-1. Struck out in second. Swings on this pitch and sends a slow dribbler down the third baseline. It's Al Magley off the mound of field. First, not in time. That'll probably go as a base hit for Al Smith. We'll wait for the official scorers to give us the official verdict on that one. The scores here this afternoon are Ed McCauley of the Cleveland News, Barney Kermeko of the New York Journal American, and Harry Jones of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And apparently it's going to go as a base hit. Go as a base hit. Carl Smith, very free to put, had it beaten out all the way. So that'll be hit number 4 of Magley. Bobby Avila. Bobby hitting right-handed. He has 1-2. Dumped a single to right center field back in the first inning. Figured very much in the uprising. He got the Cleveland Indians a pair of runs. And Avila came along in the second inning, or rather the third inning, fouled up to the catcher. Next curveball. It's flipped over for a strike. Magley pulling a string on that one, getting it in there just about waist high. The runner at first base is Al Smith. Magley checks his runner at first. Looks down at Avila. Comes in with the curveball. And Avila takes it outside to throw the first. Trying to get Al Smith is not in time. So Western apparently called for the pitch out. Down in the bullpen for the Giants, the veteran right-hander Marv Grissom and the left-hander Don Little are both warming up and getting ready in case Sal Magley should have any difficulty here in the fifth. Sal may have pulled a bad back when he went after that slow bounding ball hit off to the left of the mound to his right. Good ball to Avila, swung on. There's a high fly ball deep in the left field. Monty Irvin is under it. It's going to be a routine chance for Monty. He's got it. And Smith has to come hurrying back first. So Avila flies deep to left field to Monty Irvin for out number 2. And the batter coming up now will be Larry Doby, the left-hand hitting center fielder. Well, that'd be ball club in home runs with 32 this year, and also runs batted in the park with 126. 2-2 the score here between Cleveland and the Giants. We're in the top of the fifth inning. The possible tie-breaking run for Cleveland is on at first base. There are 2 down, and Magley's about to pitch now to left-hand batting Larry Doby. Larry Doby, originally from Camden, South Carolina, now lives over here in Paterson, New Jersey, not very far from the Polo Ground. First pitch to him is a fast curve outside for ball one. Doby's been quite a competitor since having come up with the Indians. The overhand curve to him is high off the face. That's ball 2. Larry Doby, very free to put. A fellow that can give that ball an awful long ride if he gets good solid wood on it. Al Smith, the runner at first base for Cleveland, has Whitey Lockman standing behind him as he takes his lead. Magley ready, pitches. Swung on, there's a little looping fly ball hit out into right field. It's going to drop in there for the base hit. Smith is on his way, moves on into third base as Mueller's throw comes into Alvin Dock at second. So Doby loops one into right field. Al Smith, running on the blow with a pair down, moves into third, and that's the fifth hit given up by Magley. And Westrum goes out to have a talk with him. So the Cleveland Indians are cooking up a little brew here that might be kind of bitter for the Giants to take. All depends on what Sal Magley's able to come up with here in the top of the fifth inning. He's going to pitch to Al Rosen. Al popped up to first base to Whitey Lockman back in the first inning and then retired to side in the third by hitting a ground ball sharply to shortstop to Alvin Dark. Now with runners first and third, second open and 2 down, Rosen comes up again. Ball game tied at 2 apiece. Magley, with his work very definitely cut out for him, is set. Checks his runners at both stations. An overhand curveball is thrown to Rosen. Swung on and popped up into right field. Don Mueller comes over for a routine chance in right. Under it, makes the catch to retire the side. Well, the Cleveland set passes for the boards here in the top half of the fifth inning. No runs, there were 2 base hits for Cleveland. run their total of five. There were no errors for the Giants, and Cleveland left the pair on to run the total there to five. So the score at the end of 4 1/2 innings of play now, it is Cleveland 2, the New York Giants 2. Men, it's a safe bet that you'll feel like you've got out on the right side of the bed if you take a brisk shaving cream shave with the new Gillette Super Speed Razor. It's a wonderful lift in the clean, refreshing Gillette shave. A free copy of Gillette's World Series record book. This book is packed with series dough, so get your copy while they last. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a terrific kick for me to be able to do the first 4 1/2 innings of the first game of the 1954 World Series. And I know you're down to hear a guy that Cleveland's been listening to for quite some time, and Cleveland's been liking for quite some time because he's a likable guy. Cleveland's fine broadcaster, Mr. Jimmy Dudley. I had the opportunity of working the All-Star game with Jim, and I have the opportunity, just as you have now, of leaning back and listening. Jim, come on, fella.
Thank you very much, Al. And now it's football in the last half of the fifth inning with the score tied 2-2. Willie Mays, the Giants center fielder, steps into the batter's box, a right-hand batter, and Bob Lemon is ready to work to him. Mays, in the first inning, popped out and walked his second trip to the plate in the third. Here's the windup. The first pitch, Mays swings a ground ball to Rosen at third. Big hop taken. Here's the throw to first, and Mays is out. Mays grounding out. Rosen 2 works. 5-3, in case you're scoring along with us. Bob Lemon, one of the most feared pitchers in the American League. A boy who keeps that ball low all the time. The umpires will tell you that he is one of the roughest in the business to call in view of the fact that most of his stuff is from the waist right down to the knee. Hank Thompson, left-hand batter, steps in. Takes a strike with a fastball, nicking the inside corner knee-high. Thompson, in the first inning, grounded out, the first baseman unassisted, but singled into right field in the third. The windup, the next pitch is outside. The count even up, ball one and strike one. The score tied, Cleveland 2, New York 2. The Indians broke on top, scoring 2 runs in the first inning. The Giants coming back to tie it up in the last of the third. Outfielder spraying Thompson to pull, deep and well around to right. The 1-1 pitch, a swing and a miss. He was out in front with it. Strike 2. Ball 1 and strike 2 to count. Lemon has given up a total of 7 hits. Magley, 5. The entire World Series between these two ball clubs promises to be just the same way. Nip and tuck all the way. Either team capable of coming up with an attack at any spot in the batting order. The 1-2 pitch. Ball 2 outside. A fastball broke away. Ball 2 and strike 2 to count on the batter. Thompson stands very deep in the batter's box. Bobby Avila back to the edge of the outfield grass, midway between first and second. Here's the windup and the 2-2 pitch. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. Thompson goes down swinging. 2 away. And the batter, number 20, Monty Irvin. Up twice, he is 0-2. Fouled out his first trip in the second inning and struck out in the third. That, by the way, was a big out for Lemon. End of the fly ball would have given them the run to put them ahead. They play him straight away. First pitch is too low. Ball one the count. Al Smith deep in left field and straight away. Here's the windup. The next pitch is a strike call with a curve hitting the outside corner. The strikeout on Thompson, by the way, was the fourth of the game for Bob Lemon. He has walked two men. The score is tied 2-2. You're in the last half of the fifth inning with two out and nobody on the bases. The windup and the pitch is inside, too close to the batter. The count moves to ball two and strike one. Herman Franks coaching at third base for the Giants. Freddie Fitzsimmons, one of the game's great stars of the past, at first base. Roby deep in straightaway in center field. The outfielders have a lot of room to roam in center, right center, and left center. The 2-1 pitch is swung on. There's a drive going deep and high out into left center. Roby moves back a step or two. Waiting as he slaps the glove, he makes the catch, and the side is retired. Irvin giving the crowd a thrill with a long fly ball into deep center. 3 up and 3 down for the Giants. No runs, no hits. And at the end of 5, the score is Cleveland 2, New York 2. Leo DeRocher of the New York Giants, certainly one of the game's great leaders. You know what he says about leadership? Leo says if you want to be a leader, you've got to look the part. And you can't look the part without a fresh, good-looking shave. Yes. For my money, there's only one way to get a good-looking shave every time up. And that's with shaving cream and a modern Gillette razor. Well, at the halfway mark in the five innings, the ground crew now are grooming the infield. While they're so doing it, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN, your exclusive World Series station, Chicago.
Back at the Polo Grounds in New York City, the scene of the playing of the first game of the 1954 World Series, going into the first half of the sixth inning, it will be Vic Wertz leading off for Cleveland. The five inning totals on the ball game: Cleveland 2 runs, 5 hits, no errors. The Giants 2 runs, 7 hits, 1 error. Westrum throw to second. Davey Williams over to third, to Thompson, and back to the pitcher on the mound. The veteran Sal Magley, drawing that all-important assignment of hailing the first game. Facing him now is Vic Wertz in the batter's box. He has 2 for 2. A triple in the first inning to drive in 2 runs. A single in the fourth to lead off. He was left stranded. First pitch, he swings and wraps a line drive into right field. Another base hit. Coming over fast forward is Don Mueller. The throw is to first base. It's over the first baseman's head. And it gets away from the catcher. First base is to second. He makes the turn there and holds up. Weston chases for the ball. Back to the stands. Mueller's throw surprised everybody. Whitey Laughlin, the first baseman, leaped forward. He had no chance to get it. And it's an error charge to Don Mueller on the throw. A single to Wertz into right field. And a throwing error charged to Don Mueller, his second error of the ball game. It was a rough break on him. And you sort of hate to see a ball player charged with an error when he's thinking. And that's just what Don Mueller was doing. Realizing that Wertz is a slow man, he figured him to overrun and thought he might have a chance to get him back at first base. But it was a bad throw, and he is charged with an error. So Wertz is on second with nobody out in the first half of the sixth inning, and stepping into the batter's box is Dave Philly. Philly, a switch hitter, batting left. Takes ball one outside. Philly came to the Indians last winter after batting better than 300 with the Philadelphia Athletics. He's done a fine job. He's one of the better defensive ball players in baseball today. Had a lot of rough luck in the hitting department. Here's the stretch by Magley. Quick looks to the runner back at second. The pitch is ball two, high and outside. Still no count on the batter. Billy has been up twice. He fired to right field in the first inning. Rounded out, pitcher to first in the fourth inning. But you never know where it's going to come from. These two teams are tough from the top to the bottom in the batting order. Wertz has a good lead off second with nobody out. He'll play it safe. The outfielders are pulled around toward right for Philly. The 2-0 pitch. He swings and fouls it back to the screen. The count is 2-1. Ball 2 and strike 1. Warming up in the Giant bullpen, a left-hander, Don Little, and right-hander, Marv Grissom. Ready for action in case manager Leo DeRocher should need them. Ted Kress, the Indians' first base coach, shouting down to Philly, get hold of that ball. The 2-1 pitch on its way. He swings and grounds one off. The pitcher's glove. Magley scrambles, picks it up, can't make a play at third. Throws to first, and Philly is out. Wertz moving to third base. Good recovery on the part of Sal Magley. He knocked that ball down with his glove, scrambled for it, and got Philly, a fast man, at first. Alvin Dock, the Giant captain and shortstop, in talking to Magley. And now Weston goes out. Make sure that he is all right. One away in the first half of the sixth inning. The Philly has grounded out twice. Now to the pitcher. The batter is George Strickland. Shortstop. Struck out in the second inning and grounded out to the shortstop in the fourth. One away, a man on first. Left side of the infield is pulled in a bit. Now the right side in, about halfway. First pitch to Strickland. He swings and fouls it off to the right, coming back into the stands out of play. Strike one. Strickland was injured the first week in July. At Yankee Stadium in a game against New York, Marlon Stewart, New York's Yankee pitcher, hit him at third base trying for a force play. The ball deflected off the third baseman's glove and broke his jaw. He was out about a month. Here's the windup. Next pitch is too high. Ball one and strike one to count on George Strickland. Infield in, they'll try to cut this run off at the plate. Magley, of course, hoping to make Strickland hit the ball into the dirt. One out. The score is tied, 2-2. Wirtz leading away from third. The next pitch, a swing and a foul tip. Getting past the catcher and coming back to the screen, it is now ball one and strike two. Magley, while winning 14 ball games, losing only six during the regular season, proved to be DeRocher's stop pitcher. That pitcher for the big, all-important game. Thus, he drew the assignment for this first game of the World Series. Antonelli, of course, was the big winner for the Giants. In action now, the 1-2 pitch, a swing and a fly ball hit into short left center. Alvin Dock is going back for it. He's under now and makes the catch. Wirtz holding up at third base. No chance to score, and there are two gone. Dock, another fine touch ball player, going back to take charge of that fly ball in short left center. It would have been trouble for Mays or Monty Irvin. So Wirtz is on third, there are two gone, and now it takes a base hit. No longer will the sacrifice fly. A fly. And it is left to Jim Hegan, the Indians' catcher. Up twice. In the second inning, he popped out. In the fourth, he popped out. Right-hand batter. First pitch to him is ball one, too low. Magley, being very cautious. He's a pitcher who would waste his fastball and then make you go for the curve. Ball on the count. End of the windup. The next pitch is swung on a ground ball down the third baseline. Knocked down by the third baseman. Up with it. The quarter first in time. A beautiful recovery. A fine recovery on the part of Hank Thompson. That ball was right over the bag. He knocked it down, scrambled for it in foul territory, and got his man with a fine, accurate throw. And Hegan is very fast. So the Indians get no runs. They had one hit. There was one giant error. And one man was left on the bases. So we go into the last half of the sixth inning with a score. Cleveland 2, New York 2. I wonder how many of you baseball fans know why third base is called the hot corner, or how the bullpen got its name. Well, you'll find the answers in the new Gillette World Series record book. But fans, that's only a patch on the raft of other facts and figures in this handy reference book. Its 112 pages are crammed with the scores of every past World Series game, records of every player, diagrams of all big league parks, basic rules, scoring instructions, a dictionary of baseball slang, and a wealth of other inside baseball facts. To get your copy free before tomorrow's game, ask for the new Gillette Super Speed Razor Set, $1. The record book attached is worth plenty, but costs you nothing extra. Well, the Indians had something started there, but failed to carry through as Tal Magley buckled down and closed the door on Vic Wirtz, who led off with a single and moved up on an error. Moved to third as Philly grounded out, but failed to score as Strickland and Hegan went down. Now the Giants come up, ready for action in the last half of the sixth inning with the score tied. 2-2. Davey Williams, second baseman for the Giants, steps in. A right-hand batter. Lemon hitching up the trousers. Little habit that he's had all of his baseball career. Okay's the sign from Hegan. Outfielders are straight away. The pitch to Williams is ball one, too low. Ball on the count. Here's the windup. Emma's next pitch is swung on a ground ball to the shortstop. Big hop taken by Strickland. The throw to first, and Williams is out. Williams grounding out. Strickland two works. The playing field is in excellent condition. The grounds crew has done a marvelous job of keeping this field ready for the World Series. And it's seen a lot of action, don't forget, throughout the regular season. One away, nobody on. Wes Westrum is the batter. The giant catcher has two for two. First pitch to him. He swings and wraps a line drive in the center field. Dobie coming over hard is under it and makes the catch. Two away. Westrum lining to Dobie in center. And Larry Doby really put that one away out there in center field, just as they tell you to do it in the Gillette World Series record book. A special section gives inside tips on winning play and lots of other dope. That's great meat for all you baseball folks, from beginning little leaguers to grizzled fans. A World Series record book is yours absolutely free. Remember, it comes attached to the new Gillette one-piece razor at the regular price. A good hand for Sal Magley as he steps in. Two out and nobody on. He takes a strike over the outside corner. Made with a bunt motion, but let the pitch go by. Magley has struck out twice. Lemon's next pitch. Swung in and ground ball hit to the right side of the infield. Works is over. Up with it, throws to Lemon covering, and Magley is out. The Giants going down again in order. Magley out. First baseman to pitch in. And for New York in the sixth, no runs, no hits, nothing across. And at the end of six, the score, Cleveland 2, New York 2. Say hey, that's Willie Mays, the Giant Wonder Boy, as he sparks the Giants. Neil DeRocha says Willie is the greatest player he's ever seen. The last day of the season, he clinched the hitting crown, but he hit just 182 in his six previous World Series games. That's the kind of worthwhile dope you get in the Gillette World Series record book. Fans, it makes baseball much more enjoyable in season and out. Better get your free copy right away. Well, these two pitchers have really settled down to their business. Magley gave up two runs in the first inning, but since then has hung the horse collar on the Indians. Lemon was tagged for two runs in the third to tie up the score. Here in the Mutual broadcast booth today, we're mighty proud of this little fact. This is the 5,000th baseball broadcast by the Armed Forces Radio Service to the men and women stationed overseas. It's estimated that our listening audience during the series is about 110 million people. Big Al, that's a lot of people.
Man, I tell you frankly, I'd like to have a hot dog concession for that many people.
You're not kidding. All right, it's play ball in the first half of the seventh inning. Lemon leads off. He swings on the first pitch and pops it up. Right by second base, Alvin Dodd. Shortstop is under it. He has it for the first out. Lemon popped it out. Dark is certainly one of the great players in this series. He has played previously in 12 World Series games. The Indians remember him, of course, in the 1948 World Series as a member of the Boston Braves. And they've seen a lot of him in spring training. Here's Al Smith, the leadoff batter, number 32. Swings on the first pitch. It's a ground ball to the third baseman. Thompson taps it nicely. The throw to first and Smith is out. Smith, one of the surprises of the 1954 season for the Indians, came to spring training more or less for the ride. But they got a look at him, he got a break, and he remained in the lineup. It's been a great help to Al Lopez and his tribe this year. There are two out, and the batter is Bobby Avila. He has one out of three, a single in the first inning. Right-hand batter takes ball one, high and inside. Little Mexican pepper pot from Veracruz. Pride and joy of the folks down in Mexico. And by the way, he now is an owner of a ball club. He owns the Mexico City Reds. Next pitch to him is outside and low, a curveball breaking sharply. Ball two, no strikes. Two and nothing on the batter. With two out and nobody on. The outfield playing Avila straight away. He hits to all fields. Here's the windup. The next pitch is swung in, and a line drive to Thompson at third. He's out. Avila line to Hank Thompson at third base. And the fans are really getting a big thrill out of this, as the two pitchers really knuckle down. For the Indians in the seventh, no runs, no hits, nothing across, and we're going to the last half of the seventh inning. The score is Cleveland 2, New York 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gillette presents the sharpest edges ever honed.
To look sharp every time you shave, to feel sharp and be on the ball, just be sharp. Use Gillette Blue Blades for the quickest, slickest shave of all.
Gillette Blue Blades are made to fit your razor to a T.
They double edges, black and black.
For real economy, to look sharp.
Every time you shave,
to feel sharp.
And be on the ball, just be sharp.
Use Gillette Blue Blades for the quickest, slickest shave of all.
Gillette Blue Blades and handy dispensers are 20 for 98, 10 for 49. The seventh inning, last half coming up at the Polo Ground in New York, the home of the Giants, champion National League. The lucky seventh inning, a tradition in baseball all these many good years. Leading off for the Giants, Whitey Lockman, they have the top of the batting order. Lockman has one out of three, single in the third inning, and scored the first Giant. Scored at 2-2. Lemon, up, ready for work, rocks into the windup. The first pitch is a strike call. The ball dropped down very quickly. The fella at one time played the outfield, tied the infield, the pitching, became one of the greats. Pitch is swung on, now tipped into the dirt. His feet by Lockman. The count is 2. Orange on the... Lockman, recognized as one of the team's fine competitors. Two ball crack started out the 1954 in training in Arizona. Traveled back from Arizona to their respective cities and leagues, and now meet again here in the fall. Lemon okays the sign with the count strike two on the batter. Pitch is swung on a hard smash to a Avila on the top, taken by the second baseman, the third at first, and Lockman is out. Lockman hitting out Avila to 4-3. Lemon has retired 8 men in a row, and Magley has retired 6 in a row. In the last half, seventh inning of the score tied. Alvin Dock steps in. Lemon's pitch turn is ball one. High and inside. Giants wear the special aid headgear and their bat. Mindful of the old steel helmet. Pitch is swung on a curve. Pops it up. To the third base side of the field. Alvin Rosen moving quickly in front of the Indian dugout, and he has it. Almost misjudged it as he was looking up into the... Fouled out to Alvin. I noted that Rosen is not traveling under full speed. That leg is still bothering him quite a bit. Has a full muscle. Thigh muscle. A little difficult for him to move quickly and very fast. So there are two, nobody on, and Tom Mueller stepping in. He has one out of three, and has scored a run. Left-hand batter, he takes a strike, a fastball to the inside corner, tie. Talking to Indian pitchers, while they have all the respect in the world for Willie Mays, they fear this boy, Mueller. Next pitch is run on and hit foul, down the baseline, outside the bag, foul strike two. There's a ground hugger, and a ripper that almost stayed in there fair. Got to go over that bat, remember. Can hit it, but be over any part. Umpire Charlie Berry on the first base called it. Three strike two.
Cool, no.
Two American League umpire safe on the first Berry side. Okay. And out in right field is Larry Knapp. Here's the windup. The next pitch is running, and the line drive is into left field. The trip shot in third, a base hit. Mueller makes the turn at first. Smith throw back to the infield. Holds him there, however. And it brings up Willie Mays. That little incident right there will give you some idea of why the Indian pitchers and others have such great respect for Don Mueller. With two strikes on him, he whipped one to the opposite field. Willie Mays looking for his first World Series hit, steps in. He's 0 for 2 officially. He walked in the third inning. Right hand batter. A dynamic ball player. First pitch to him. Oh, and outside, a curveball, breaking down and away. Mays, the batting champion of the National League. One of the most publicized young ball players in the history of the game. Number 24. Al Smith is deep in straightaway in left. Doby, deep in straightaway in center. Don Mueller on first with two out. Last half of the seventh, the score is tied. Lemon's pitch is swung on and fouled back to the stands, out of play. Count is even up, ball one and strike one. Yes, sir, there's always plenty of excitement at the old ball yard. And this one is no exception. The first game of the 1954 World Series. The Indians versus the Giants. Ball one and strike one to count. Lemon checks for his sign. Gloved hand down on his knee. Up with a stretch now. Quick looks at the runner at first. The pitch is ball two, outside and low. 2-1 to count. Indian pitchers, of course, remember Willie Mays from spring training, but he is an entirely different Willie Mays now. No longer does he go for that bad ball. 2-1 to count. There's the pitch. Swung on and the ground ball is hit to the shortstop. Strickland up with it. Throws to Avila, covering second. Mueller is forced. Posada is retired. Strickland to Avila, forcing Mueller for the third out. And in the seventh inning for the Giants, no runs. One hit, their first hit since the fourth inning, by the way. One man left. And at the end of seven innings, the score, Cleveland 2, New York 2. A moment ago, we were talking about Alvin Dauff. Well, the last time he was up, just in this inning, they got him out. A pop foul to Al Rosen. The first time that the Indians have gotten Dauff out today. Yes, Mr. Dodd came into this series with 12 games under his belt and a hefty batting average of .292. I notice in the Gillette World Series record book that this tops even the mighty Roger Hornsby's average. Got your book yet? It's attached to the Gillette one-piece razor set, for which you pay only the regular price. The book is free. Now we head into the first half of the eighth inning. The score tied, Cleveland 2, New York 2. Larry Doby will be leading off for the Indians. Here is the official attendance at today's ball game. 52,751. 52,751. A fine crowd to get the World Series off. And as the experts have said, this promises to be one of the greatest World Series of all time in attendance and returns, of course, financially for the players in the league. All right, Doby steps in. Magley's first pitch to him. He swings and grounds it foul down the first baseline, out of play. Doby has one out of three, a single his last time up, single into right field in the fifth inning. He was one of the top hitters in the 1948 World Series, the Indians versus the Boston Braves. And, of course, was the RBI champion of the American League this year. Home run champion, too. There is ball one, high and outside. A fastball got away from Magley, took off, bringing a few oohs and ahs from the crowd. 1-1 to count. Doby clutched over the plate. The next pitch, he drops to the ground to avoid being hit. Ball two, high and inside. Another fastball. Doby really takes a toehold in the batter's box. And as the boys on the field, on the bench, will say, he hounds the plate. Looks mean up there as the pitcher looks toward him. The 2-1 pitch. Ball three, high and outside. Dobie was ready to swing away on that 2-1. It takes ball three instead. 3-1 the count now. The outfielders pull deep and well around toward right. Right side of the infield, deep. Lockman at first. Davey Williams at second. On deck is Al Rosen. The 3-1 pitch. Dobie swings and he misses. Strike two, and the string is loose. Full count of 3-2 on the batter. Maglia has given up 6 hits. Score is tied. Cleveland 2, New York 2. 3-2, and Maglia checks with the catcher, Weston. Works into the windup. And here's the payoff pitch. Ball four, inside and low. Dobie works in for a walk. That is the second base on balls given up by Magny. He has 2 strikeouts, and again we have action down in the Giant bullpen. Dan Little, the left-hander, has really been getting a workout during this game, and Marv Grissom, right-hander. As Al Rosen steps into the batter's box. Grissom and Little getting ready down in the bullpen in case they're needed. Grissom was a great help to the Giants this year, winning 10 while losing only 7. All right, Rosen steps in, a right-hand batter. And the first pitch to him is ball one inside and low. Dobie on first, leading off for the base on balls. Tie score, 2-2. First half of the 8th inning. Magley turns and throws to first, but Dobie is back. Magley, on that particular throw, walks toward the rubber, turns quickly and fires to the first baseman. Dobie leads up. Here's the stretch. The pitch is swung on a ground ball. Knocked down by a guard. The shortstop picks it up. Second, too late. All hands are safe. And Rosen is at first base. But again, he was moving with a decided limp. And it is a base hit. An infield hit for Al Rosen. As he hit one just to the right of shortstop Dodd, he knocked it down with his bare hand. Tried for Dobie at second, but was too late. And Rosen gets his first hit of the day. Runners on first and second, nobody out, and the batter is Vic Wirtz. Now Lockman moves in from his position at first base, and Thompson is in close to the edge of the infield grass. Time is called, however. Westrum goes out to talk to Magley, and now Freddie Fitzsimmons, first base coach, starts out of the Giant dugout. Gets a call from Leo DeRocher, the manager. Turns and looks back to him. Umpire Larry Knapp waved in to see if they wanted one of the boys warming up. Don Little, left-hander, is ready, and so is Miles Grissom, big right-hander. Jack O'Connell, second base umpire, moves in, and Fitzsimmons indicates that he wants the left-hander, Don Little, to come on. Little has won 9 and lost 4 this year. So that is going to be all for Sal Magley. Magley has given up 8 hits. You know, there's never been a no-hit performance by any pitcher in a World Series game. That's just one of the many interesting facts covered in Gillette's wonderful new World Series record book. And remember, you get it free with a one-piece Gillette razor for the regular price. Nobody out here in the first half of the 8th inning with a new pitcher coming on. So let's take a look at Magley's record. He has worked in 7 innings of the game. He's given up 2 runs, is leaving 2 men on. Should they score, they'll be charged to him. Gave up a total of 8 hits. He walked 2 and struck out 2. Let's change that. Magley has given up just 7 hits. Thank you, Al. 7 hits. And then you'll put Don Little. Magley making the long walk from the mound through center field and to the clubhouse. A pitcher going out of the game here at the Polo Grounds has just about the longest walk into the dressing room of any baseball. So Little is taking his warm-up. And while we're waiting, that's 5 to 10 seconds for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
And this is WGN, your exclusive World Series station, Chicago.
Now back at the Polo Grounds in New York, the new Giant pitcher, Don Little, out on the mound. Al Lopez, the Indian manager, came out to talk to Al Rosen. The runner at first, Rosen was limping very badly when he went down the line, but evidently he is going to stay in. I know that he wants to. Don Little is ready to work. A boy who hits from Mount Carmel, Illinois. 5'10", 165 pounds. Little appeared in 28 games during the regular season at an earned run average of 3.07. Left-hand pitch now against left-hand batter Vic Woods. Runners on first and second, nobody out. The first pitch by Little is ball one, high and inside a fastball. A slender bill, but he has a whale of a good fastball. Rosen on first, three on second. Nobody out in the first of the eighth. Score tied 2-2. Next pitch is a strike with a curve, hitting the outside corner, breaking away. Vic Wirtz, the Indian baseman up there now, has a perfect day this far. Three hits and to the plate, a triple and two singles. Drove in the Indians two runs back in the first inning. Little is ready. The pitch. A bunt try. It's popped into the air, but nobody can get to it. Hank Thompson, the third baseman, tried. So did Little, the pitcher. But neither could reach it. And it is ball one and strike two. Well, that's a life for Wirtz. An attempted bunt. He popped it foul down the third base line. Ball one and strike two. Batter on deck is Dave Philly. Dolby drew a walk. The count 3-2. He took ball. Rosen single to the shortstop. He threw a force play on Dolby. And Rosen is given credit for the field hit. Nobody out. Little now. For a sign. Up for the strip. A look back to the runner at second. Pitch is swung on, and there's a drive going deep out into the center. Hayes is racing back, still going. And he makes a beautiful catch over his head. And Dobie tags up at second and is moving to third. A beautiful, beautiful catch by Woody Mays. For those of us who have not seen too much of amazing Willie Mays, we know now why they talked about him so very much. That was one of the most spectacular catches we have ever seen. That one was hit to the wall in right center. Well over 400 feet away from home plate. And Mays was racing with his back turned to the end. And pulled it down over his shoulder. We're getting a pinch hitter for here in the eighth inning. It is Hank Majeski. Majeski batting for Philly. And here comes Freddie Fitzsimmons out of the Giant dugout. There's a possibility of a new pitcher. Marv Grissom has been warming up and is ready to the meeting. Yes, that is what it is going to be. The new pitcher, Mal Grissom, is being called into the game. Hank Majeski has a batting average of .281 for the regular season. However, that average doesn't tell the entire story. The veteran has really been a tremendous asset to Al Lopez and his tribe this year. He has moved in to play third, last, second, and has been a great help at the plate. Many of his hits, driving in runs, that have won ball games for the Indians. And now, right-hander coming into the game, we're going to get a switch in pinch hitters. Mitchell is coming out of the Indian dugout, swinging a couple of bats. And it is going to be Dale Mitchell batting for Hank Majeski. And the fans are getting a big thrill out of this battle of strategy between Al Lopez, manager of the Indians, and Leo DeRocher, the manager of the New York Mets. But this is World Series, and championship strategy as well as championship play is so very important. Lopez now comes out of the dugout to his pinch hitter, Dale Mitchell, who is up to the left of the plate. Freddie Fitzsimmons is talking to Bob Grissom. And it goes down Little, making his exit from the game, pitching one-third of an inning. It's to one man, Vic Wirtz, and Wirtz tried to Willie Mays, deep in center field. Grissom is 1-10 and lost 11. And if any Giant fan will tell you, he has been a great help to the Giant ball club. He has appeared in a total of 56 games. Giving you some idea of how often he has been called in from the bullpen to stop the fire and go on and save a ball game. So he's won 10 and lost just 7. Probably has saved many more for other starting pitchers. Check it on the average, 2.34. Remember, these two men on base, Dobie and Rosen, are charged to the starting pitcher, Sal Maggie. So while the score is tied, Cleveland 2, New York Giants 2, Maggie could be the losing pitcher in this ball game. Leo DeRocher is going to have men ready. He has a left-hander and a right-hander warming up in the bullpen. The score tied 5-2 in the first half of the eighth inning. One out. The Indians have Dobie on third and Rosen on first. Batter Dale Mitchell. Pinch hitting for Hank Majeski, who was originally announced as a pinch hitter for Philly. Mark Grissom steps onto the rubber now to sign. Dale Mitchell, a left-hand batter. Takes ball one high and outside. Ball on the count. Mitchell has a time batting average of 3.15 in major league play. Has not seen too much action this year. A batting average of 2.83, used mostly as a pinch hitter. Next pitch. He takes ball two inside. Almost got away from West for the catch. Dan McCall, a left-hander, knuckleball, right-hander, warming up in the Giant bullpen. Buzzing on first. Dobie is on third. One out in the first half of the eighth inning. The next pitch. Ball three, outside. Mitchell is ready to go for it. Held back, and now it's 3-0. Mitchell stands deep in the batter's box, and while he can pull out to right field, he's capable of hitting the ball field. The next pitch, ball four, high and outside, and on fourth base happens. Mitchell takes a walk. The bases are loaded.
Rosen moves to second. Dobie holds at third, and Mitchell takes over at first base. The batter, Dew, is Josh Griffin, but now he is being called back. And we're going to get a pinch hitter. Dave Pope, number 34, is coming up to the dugout. Pope is going to hit Strickland. Pope is a rookie outfielder up from Indianapolis of the American Association. He batted 294 for this year with the Indians in 60 ball games. Hit four home runs and drove in 12 runs. He's very fast and has a lot of promise as a coming star of the future. The CMA Association, he practically tore that pitcher apart last couple of years. He's a stand batter. Hope, batting for Stephen. First pitch, he swings and caps a foul down the first baseline. Goes back into fair territory, but it had been fouled off his foot. Strike one. Dobie on third, Rosen on second.
Mitchell on first. One out in the first half of the eighth inning. The Indians and the Giants battling in the first game of the 1954 World Series. Tied up, 2-2. Pope now steps back into the batter's box. Don Miller, deep square one right. Willie Mays pulled over to the right center just a shade. Big Miles Grissom, right-hander. On the rubber. Works into a short windup. The pitch, ball one, a fastball high and outside. It's an exciting moment here at the Polo Grounds. They count 1-1 on the batter. The base is loaded. The Indians attempting to break the tie. And Grissom, the third grand hurler, trying to close the door. On deck is Jim Hegan. Here's the windup. The next pitch, just swinging a miss. Ball one and strike two. Pope went for the fastball. Wilhelm and McCall continue to warm up for the Giants. Wilhelm, the fast knuckleball. Left-hander, Johnny McCall. Base is a level for the Indians. One out. Here's the out, the windup. The next pitch swung on and out into the stands, down the left field line, going into the second lane. Out of play. Ball one and strike two. Ed Kress is watching at first base, shouting encouragement down to the team. The little round man, Tony Cuccinello, away from the coach's box at third base. One out. Blue ball in play. Just the punching Dobie very close to the third. Here's the windup. One and two pitches. Strike two. He's fucking out. That is one of the big strikeouts of the World Series. Yet, of course, to some, there's a lot of action, but nothing can be more important than that one. Striking out left-hand batter Dave Pope with the bases loaded. And now Jim Hegan is up. Fans are still talking about Willie Mays and that great catch. You know, he went right back to the right center field wall to haul down that flag of work. You'll find the diagram of the Polo Grounds showing distances to all fences on page 26 of the new Gillette World Series record book. Be sure you get yours. All right, Jim Hegan is up. The first pitch coming on to him. Ball one high and inside. Ball in the count. There are two out. The bases are loaded. Score tied, 2-2. Martin, big right-hander, relief pitcher for the Giants. There's the pitch. Egan swings and pops it up. Off to the right of the pitch. Wilson racing for it. He can't get to it. It's back onto the top of the dugout. Good run by Weston, but he couldn't reach it. And the count is even, ball one and strike one. Egan hit that ball right on the fist and cracked his back. That boy brings him another piece of wood. 1-1 the count on the batter. Jim Hegan, he is 0 for 3. Dobie led off with a walk. Rosen singled off the shortstop's hand. Works by deep to center. And Mitchell walked, batting for Majeski. The bases are loaded with two outs. Here's the windup. And the pitch. Egan swings and fouls it back out of play. Strike two. Ball one and strike two to come. And now with the count in favor of the pitcher, Weston calls the time. Walks out to talk to Grissom. Pats him on the seat of the pants. They're two out. It's third tied. The Indians got two runs in the first. The Giants tied it up in the last of the third. First half of the eighth inning. The runners move off. They're ready to go with a crack of the bat. They're two out. Grissom still watching Dobie closely. All right, the 1-2 pitch. Fouled back. Hegan got a piece of it to stay alive. Boy, that was a foul ball. It came right back into the press box, into one of the cameras, one of the television cameras on duty, covering today's ball game. 1-2 count. Mitchell on first, Rosen on second, Dobie on third. With two out, the outfielders are straight away. Grissom, taking plenty of time, cautiously. Into the windup now. The pitch swung on the buzzer drive, going deep high out into left field. Willie Mays is back to the wall. A rather muddy over, and he turned it and has it for the out. Irvin standing in front of the 315-foot mark, right on the warning path in front of the wall, pulled it down. And fanfare is a great, great pick of relief pitching. John Little and Marv Grissom closing the door on the Indians. They get no runs. They had one hit. There were two bases on balls and three men left. And going into the last half of the eighth inning, the score is Cleveland 2, New York 2. Fans, let's face it. There's nothing that can make your alarm clock sound like sweet music. But when it's hard to get underway, a good Gillette wake-up shave will help you get ready for action on a sleepy morning. Yes, sir. There's plenty of lift packed into a shaving cream shave with today's new Gillette Super Speed Razor. Now, if you haven't tried today's Gillette Super Speed Razor, you're missing something really great. You change blades in a flash and just rinse it to clean. It's made in one piece, nothing to take apart. And it's double-edged for extra convenience and economy. The price? Only a dollar, complete with traveling case and blue blade dispenser. And while they last, you get the new Gillette World Series Record Book 3. A great little book that helps you get more fun out of baseball all year long. Well, after that great bit of pitching, Marv Grissom has a ball game on his hands. Fans, let's face it, there's nothing that can make your alarm clock sound like sweet music. But when it's hard to get underway, a good Gillette wake-up shave will help you get into action. Sleepy morning. Yes, sir. There's plenty of lift back in there. Shaving cream shave with today's new Gillette Super Speed Razor. Now, if you try today's Gillette Super Speed Razor, you're missing something really good. You change blades in a flash and get strength of the good. And it's double F for extra convenience and economy. The price, only a dollar, complete with traveling suits and blue blade dispenser. And while they last, you get the new Gillette Bell City Jacket Book 3. A great little book that helps you get more fun out of baseball all year long. That takes Cal Magley out of the game. It is now Marv Griffin's ball game to win or to lose. Changes in the Indian lineup. At shortstop, Sam Denty. Sam Denty is a shortstop for the Indians, and Pope goes into right field. Dave Pope in right, and Denty short. And is Denty playing first World Series game. Batter for the Giants is Henry Thompson, the third baseman. Left hand batter, one in the fifth turn. Outside. The Indians had a glorious opportunity. Failed to capitalize on it. And it's still a tie game with the Giants now at bat. Thompson has one out of three. It's in the plate. Brings on the next pitch and hits the ball deep out into right field. And that ball is going to be foul. Just on the wrong side of the white chalk mark. Foul by the pitch. Strike one. 52,751 fans are watching that ball every inch of the way. Sure, if you can score with it, Pope in right field will bat in the number seven. And Denty is going to shortstop in the number five. All right, Lemon is ready. Ball one and strike one to count. The next pitch. Hit foul down the first baseline out of play. The number and strike two.
Hello.
Season long, people talking about the Indians' second time strength, inch strength.
No.
They're seeing some of it in action right now. Empty at short. They put them up. People on the bench here, of course, were called on the bench hit. I guess they did not get an opportunity. Ball one and strike two. Here's the windup. The next pitch swung on and a high top foul. Hit back of the plate, coming back into the stands out of play. Egan started back for it, but no chance to reach him. For the count remains, ball one and strike two. The outfielder pulled around toward right. Johnson filling the crowd for the wallop off the right field wall, but foul. Johnson the batter. On deck is Monty Irvin. Drummond has given up a total of 8 hits. The Indians have a total of 7. The next pitch is high and outside. The ball 2. Even up 20 now. Barn and Hank Johnson. Third baseman. The wind is still strong coming out of the southeast, going across from third to first. The next pitch. Good foul down the first baseline. Fielded by Freddie Freeman. A one-hand stop. It's a battle now between Mal Grissom and Bob Lemon. And certainly, you have to give a big pat on the back to Leo DeRosa. Strategy, calling the right pitcher, the right down middle, that right, and Grissom. That's the rest of it. Two pitch to Johnson is ball 3 outside, and the swing is out. Full count of 3-2. There's the windup, and the big pitch is ball 4 high outside. Johnson coming through the base on balls. That is the third walk given up to Solomon. And the batter is Monty Irvin. Irvin is 0 for 3. Fouled out and fried out. He plays the third base close. Comes in to him. Now we have action out in the Indian bullpen. Ray Narleski, rookie right-hander, and Al Newhouse. Stander warming up.
Who has the
action? Now let's see. Score is tied shortly, but the Giants have a runner on first with nobody out. Thompson, the base runner. The batter, Monty Irvin, right-hand batter, crouched over the plate. Rosen moving on the grass. The pitcher goes to front, rather than far the plate of beauty. Egan is up with it, can't make a play at second. Throws to Avila, covering it first, and Irvin is out on a perfect sacrifice. As pretty a bunt as you want to see. He jumps it right out in front of the base. No chance to play on the runner at second at all. A perfect sacrifice. One gone. And the back. Irvin goes out 2-4. Catcher to the second baseman seven. So now it's the runner on second. One away, and Davey Williams steps in. He is up to 3. He's grounded out 3 times. Right in batter. Takes ball one out and low. Ball on the count. Now the Giants have a right-hander warming up in the book. Number 49, knuckleball, Herrera Holhelm. They want him out there in case they get down to the spot where they have to use the pinch hitter. Lemon okays the sign. You down, ball one. The pitch is ball 2, outside and low. 4 and no count. Hank Thompson, a fast man, is on second. The outfield pulled around toward left. On Williams. Balls are now strikes. Batter on deck is Westrum. Lemon has his sign. Up with a stretch now. Look back to the runner. The pitch is swung on a ground ball to the left side of the infield. Rosen comes in, takes it. The runner is holding it second to third of first, and Williams is out on a close play. Had him by a step, works, leaning into the infield for that throw. That Williams, just by a step, fraction of a step. There are 2 gone. The runner is still at second, and the batter is Wes Westrum. Williams going out, Rosen to works, 5-3. This broadcast coming to you from the Polo Grounds in New York City, the home of the National League champion New York Giants. The first game of the 1954 series. And if this is an indicator of what the others are to be, we'll be happy. The score is tied 2-2. Last of the eighth. Two out. The Giants have a runner at second. Keegan and Lemon had a little conference out there, midway between the mound and the plate. Westrum has been a surprise. In three trips to the plate, he has two hits, two singles into left. Right-hand batter. Lemon checks the runner back at second. First pitch. Ball one outside, a curve breaking wide of the plate. Ball one, the count on Westrum. They'll pitch carefully to Westrum with the pitcher. Do next. Thompson on second leads away. The pitch, Westrum swings and misses. He went for the slider. Strike one. Ball one and strike one, the count. A lot of the old-timers will tell you that a slider is just a nickel curve, but not so in the case of Mr. Bob Lemon, who really explodes that thing when it breaks away. A little sharp breaker. Up in position. Lemon backs off the rubber. Westrum stepped out. The count is even, one and one, a tense moment in the last half of the eighth inning. Thompson, the base runner at second, ready to travel. The outfielder's pulled around toward left. Up in position now, Lemon looks back to the runner. The pitch is swung on, and a high pop foul is hit back of the plate. Hegan coming back near the stands, but he will not be able to get it. It drops onto the screen out of play. A large area gives the catchers and other players plenty of room to travel for foul balls, first, third base, and back of the plate. Whitey Lockman, the leadoff batter and the man on deck for the Giants, calls Westrum over to him. Talks to him for a few seconds. You know, these ball players are always working at their business, thinking all the time. The man on deck, like Whitey Lockman, he'll switch him. Maybe he detects a little motion that might give away a curveball or a fastball. So he passes it on to his teammate, the man who happens to be up there in the batter's box. That's what makes for championship play. The kind you see when the teams reach the Autumn Classic, the World Series. One and two to count. The next pitch fouled back to the screen out of play, and the count remains. Ball one and strike two. There are two out in the last half of the eighth inning. Runner, Hank Thompson. And the ball game is tied in New York, two. Thompson left. Was sacrificed to second, but remained there. Grounded out. Lemon taking 29. Big man up there. At catch, he leans forward to the glove catcher. His knee looks into it. It's fine. Now he's stretched. The next pitch is outside. Away from the catcher. Hank Thompson makes the catcher, but holds up. Lemon in to cover the plate. And it is a wild pitch to Bob Lemon.
Okay.
A wild
Lemon.
Yes, sir, we've had just about a strikeout. A wild pitch. Spectacular pitch in center field by good base running. Thompson is on third, moving a home. The count on the batter is ball. Lemon works into it. Westrum swung on and that's the center field. Bobby comes on. And pulls it down. It retires the side.
Boy, that West did the
work. Westrum has really laid
through.
That ball this afternoon. A line drive and it's playing him for it.
No.
The side is retired.
No hit
runs for the Giants. There was one walk. One man left. The score. Two, New York, two. Well, fans, back at the Polo Grounds in New York, going into the first ninth inning. The score is tied. Here are the eight inning total. Cleveland, two runs. No errors, nine left. New York Giants, two runs, eight. And nine left. That's a ball game. While we're waiting for the leadoff bat, let's pause 10 seconds for the identification. This is the radio network for all.
This is WGN, your exclusive World Series station in Chicago.
Cubs play ball here in the ninth inning. Pop Lemon is the leadoff batter for the Indians. He's walked once in three trips. Grissom's first pitch to Lemon. Ball one high and outside. All seven hits collected by the Indians were off Jack Bagley, the starting pitcher. Ball in the count. The next pitch to Lemon. East this is strike one. 1-1 the count. Lemon is recognized as one of the top hitting pitchers in the game. Outfield is around toward right. He takes ball two outside. 2-1 the count. Lemon has won quite a few of his own games this year and in other years with his hitting. And it was just a couple of seasons ago that he came up with 11 home runs in one season. A fine record for a pitcher. Of course, he had previously played the outfield. Ball two on strike one, the count. Grissom works into the windup. The pitch is swung out and fouled off into the stands, off to the left of the plate, out of play. That is even up, 2-2. Lemon, left-hand batter, popped out his last hit to the plate in the seventh inning. Grissom locates the sign, the 2-2 pitch. Ball three outside, and the string is out. It's a full count of 3-2. Just to add to the evenness of this ball game, each team has had three bases on ball. The count 3-2 on Lemon, and the payout pitch. Coming up, swung and a short fly ball into left field. Coming in fast to Johnny Irvin, he's under it, and makes the catch almost at the shortstop position. And the wind pulled that ball back in toward the infield. Dow could have taken it easily, but he saw that Monty Irvin was about to run. And rather than Irvin, perhaps, risk a collision, called him on for it. One away. That's Lemon, popped to Monty Irvin. Here's Al Smith, the Indians' leadoff batter. Right-hand batter takes the fastball out to hit the one. Smith was hit by the pitcher Magley in the first inning and scored the first run of the ball game. Struck out in the second. An infield scratch hit in the fifth. Off the pitcher's glove. And he pounded out third to first his last time up in the seventh inning. Ball on the count. Crouched over the plate waiting. The next pitch is a strike up fastball blazing down the middle. The count is ball one and strike one. Smith gets a lot of bases on the ball. He crowds the plate. 1-1 the count. Smith's next pitch is inside, almost hitting. Smith spinning out of the way. And the count is ball two and strike one. Well, we talked about those infield hits, readers, hits. Well, just like lines. The next pitch is a fly ball is hit out into Monty Irvin going back now, closing the middle. He makes the catch. He stands there to give him the call. Hit tied to Irvin in left center. So Evans has made the last three outs. He's the long flat by Jim Higgins. In the step back to the 315-foot mark. Well, with two out and nobody on, Bobby Aquila steps into the batter's box. Right on today's ball game, there's been only one extra base hit. Dick Wirth with a quick first inning off the right center field wall. First pitch to Aquila. His ball went outside. Little pepper pot second baseman. And one out of four. The single in the first inning. Great little ball player. He's had one of his best hits. Again, he takes a strike. That's why he has him there. The count is 1-1. Aquila hit 15 home runs in the great season. A lot of people wonder where he gets his power. Good wrist action. 1-1 the count.
Simpson's pitch. Nice swing and a miss. Strike two. Yes, sir, the Indians are really enjoying this first game of the 1954 World Series. We hope that you folks all around the world, too, are enjoying our broadcast. We've got the short curtain to you over the great excitement here at the Polo Grounds this afternoon. Ball one and two on the batter. Nobody on, two out. A tie score, 2-2. Outfielders are covering straight away for the Wilson, Oakland is the sign into the windup. Pitch is outside, and Lowe gets away from the catcher. Away from him. Ball two. Two and pitch down. The Indians have the bases loaded in the eighth inning. They have the score. They found a bit of relief pitching on the part of Don. In the eighth inning, they have the score. They found a bit of relief pitching on the part of Don Little and Bob Wilson. And the gang caught a man as far as third, but failed to score. Off the count is 2-2. Larry Dillon, they come back. First half of the inning. Here's the windup. And the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, and there's a high foul in the short left field. Ronnie Irvin is coming hard, still racing in as the wind holds it up. He blocks the ball. Still is trying to pull. Irvin takes it close to second, but too late. Drop chance on Monty Irvin. And it is charged to Monty Irvin, the left fielder. Oh, charged to Irvin. Brock went back to cover, but it was Irvin's ball that the wind played a very important part in holding that ball, actually bringing it back on the infield. It's an error on Monty Irvin, the third giant error of the team, and the dealer is on second with a tie-breaking run. Larry Doby is the batter. Weston now goes up to Marv Grissom. And they're going to give him an intentional pass. A left-hand batter. And in spite of the fact that Al Rosen, the cleanup hitter, is on deck, they pick him less dangerously. Or to be less dangerous than Doby, a throw hitter. And the left-hand batter was the wind in his favor. Left-hander Danny McCall, Wendy McCall, and right-hander Hart Wilhelm warming up in the giant bullpen. Hart goes ball four, and Doby takes his walk. An intentional pass, the second that he's had, and the second walk given up by Gingham. This one intentional. The runner's on first and second, making the fourth play possible, of course, and brings up a right-hand batter. Al Rosen steps in. He has one out of four, infield hit. Off Alvin Dow's hand, last time up. And let's move on. Two out. First pitch, ball one outside. That run back is good work. The outfield is around to the left. With Johnny Irvin beat him straight away, playing the sun field. Willie Mays. Over in left center. This is next for Rosen, swings and fouls it off the catcher's mask. Stern to Weston for just a brief moment. Gets to his feet, boy, that can really hurt you. Ball one and strike one. Avila is on second, Toby is on first, with two outs here in the first half of the ninth inning. Score tied, Cleveland 2, New York 2. And Thompson beat the position at third base. Well back at the bag. Bob covering shortstop, moving around. Ever alert, waiting for the play. Rosen back in the batter's box with the count. Ball one and strike one. Gets him up with a stretch. Looks back to the runner at second. The pitch is cut through with a fastball. Way high to the inside corner. Ball one and strike two. One and two the count. He's ahead of the batter now. Has him in the hole. Just getting ready on deck in case he gets the chance to come up. Runners will travel with a crack at the bat. There are two outs. Wilson okays the sign in position. There's the pitch. It is ball two outside. Back to that check to the count. The moment these baseball fans love, that runner in scoring position, look at the move. Al Rosen, in the cleanup batter, at the plate. Bobby with a long lead off first. The two-two pitch. Fouled back to the screen, out of play. Count remains 2-2. Rosen, while he is a slugger, will change up as the pitcher works on him. Other times he'll see him with his hands right down the very end of that bat. Other times he moves up on the bat. He'll hit the right field or the right center. Instead of slugging for the long ball, he tries for that base hit. It will bring a run home. He's one of the game's great competitors. Aggressive, hard worker. Here's the 2-2 pitch. All three, outside and low. And the swing is out. It's a full count. And the runners will be moving with the pitch. Runners on first and second. Two out. The count 3-2. Al Lopez, the Indian manager, stalking the dugout floor, walking back and forth. Neil DeRosa right down below us doing the same. 3-2 count. The outfielders now have moved straight away. Here's the stretch. The runners are moving. A big pitch is swung on, and there's a fly ball into left field. Monty Irvin moving in under this one now. He has it, and the side is retired. And there is another great bit of pitching on the part of Marv Grissom. He's been a whale of a relief hauler for the Giants this year, and is proving himself again this afternoon in this World Series. For the Indians in the ninth, no runs, no hits. An error, and a base on ball, and we're left. So we go into the last half of the ninth inning of the score. Cleveland 2, New York Giants 2. You know, fans, since 1944, there have been 4 6-game series and 4 7-game series, as you'll see in the Gillette World Series record book. You can check the score of every series game ever played in this compact baseball book. And you can take it from there, because the book contains a world of other important baseball facts. Moving into the last half of the ninth inning, the bench coming back. The pitcher, Marv Grissom, will be the leadoff batter. Then to the top of the batting order, Whitey Lockman, Alvin Dowd. The heavy part of the Giant attack. The Indians have left 11 men on the bases in 8.5 innings. The Giants have left a total of 9 on in 8 innings. Grissom is going to bat during the last half of the ninth. And he has a chance to put his team off on the right foot. He's a right-hander all the way. Right-hand pitcher, right-hand batter. Dunham gave up 3 hits in the third inning. That was when the Giants scored their 2 runs. He has walked 3 and struck out 4. Here's the windup. Dunham's first pitch to Grissom. His ball went outside and low. Herman Frank, Giant coach at third base, shouting encouragement to Grissom. Dunham joining in from the coach's box at first base. Next pitch, Grissom swings and he misses a curveball. Boy, he's a big fella. If he ever connects on one, it'll take a ride. Ball one and strike one. You watch some of these pitchers, you never know when they're going to conk it. There is a strike call as the curve hit the outside corner, breaking away. Ball one and strike two. Lemon into the windup. Pitches and Grissom swings and misses. He struck him out. Strikeout number 5 for Bob Lemon. Oddly enough, Lemon, in previous years, has been noted as a strikeout artist. But this year, they sort of named him a control pitcher. He still had a lot of strikeouts, better than 100, but not up with the leaders. Like some of the boys at 160. The next batter, Whitey Lockman, left-hand batter, steps in. First pitch to him is a strike call. The fastball got the inside corner knee-high. The outfielders are swept well around Ted Wright, deep in all fields. And his next pitch is ball one outside and low. Early win, who will undoubtedly be the starting pitch in tomorrow's ball game, was the strikeout pitcher with the Indians this year. 1-1 the count on Lockman, one out. The next pitch is fouled into the dirt, rolls back to the plate, and the count moves to ball one and strike. They'll be over in right center, right side of the infield deep. Lockman has a pull hitter. He has one out of four single to lead off in the third inning. That started the Giants to their two-run rally. One and two is the count now. On deck is Alvin Dowd, one out. Lemon checks his time. Drops into the windup. The pitch is on and the ground ball is hit. Back to the pitcher's mound. Lemon takes it. The throw to first and Lockman is out. Going for that sinker, he tapped it toward the pitcher's mound. Lockman grounding out, pitch to the first, 1-3. And that brings up Alvin Dowd. He has a walk and two hits and four trips to the plate. The Giants got seven hits off Lemon in the first four innings of the ballgame, and since then have had just one. A single by Mueller in the seventh inning. Dowd, the right-hand batter with two outs. Pitch ball went inside. Scores tied, 2-2 here in the last half of the ninth inning. Here's the windup. And the next pitch is outside. Ball two. Ball two, no strike. Last of the ninth. Lemon now turns his back on the plate, wiping the perspiration from his brow. Always tugging at that cat. Now he's ready. The 4-0 pitch coming up, and Doc holds back for ball three, a curve ball breaking down and away, and it is sinking. On deck is Don Mueller. Ball three, no strike. It's two out in the last of the ninth. And his next pitch is fouled back to the screen. Strike one. They gave him the go sign. 3-1. Lemon still has to come in with another. Rubbing up the new ball thrown out to him. Al Rosen, the third baseman, is pulled over close to the line. Lemon has his sign now. The 3-1 pitch, pulled foul down the third baseline, over toward the stands, and it is ball three, strike two. Well, he's caught up with him now, and it boils down to just one pitch. One for the batter, one for the pitcher. Ball three, strike two. Doc digs back in there. Right-hand batter. One of the game's real tough competitors. Hard to get out. Lemon works into the windup. And the big pitch is swung on and popped up foul. Off to the right. And Wirtz is racing over near the stands. He won't be able to get to it. It drops back in the crowd. Out of play. Well, the fans have had their share of souvenirs in the stands. None in home run territory. Only one extra base hit. Got back in the first inning. 3-2 the count. Umpire Barley throws a new ball play. Lemon takes a long look on the sign from his catcher, Jim Hegan. He's all set. Here's the windup. And the 3-2 pitch is running full far out into left field. Smith is going back. Right in front of the wall. He's under the mix of the cap. The wind held it up. Boy, we were talking about home run territory, and there was one that was traveling for it 360 feet away. Al Smith made the catch, and the side is retired. For the Giants in the ninth, no runs, no hits, nothing across, and we go into extra innings. At the end of nine, it is Cleveland 2, New York Giants 2. Al, this first one is really turning out to be something, isn't it?
Well, yes, sir, Jimmy, and do you know this is the first extra inning ball game in World Series play since back in 1952, when there was an extra inning ball game on the fifth day of October, in which the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Yankees played an extra inning affair, 11 innings. And if I remember rightly, Carl Erskine was the pitcher in that ball game. So, Jimmy, we've had our share of thrills here this afternoon, haven't we?
You're absolutely right, Al, and as I said before, if this is an indicator, we're really in for something in the rest of this World Series. Well, at the end of nine innings, it's tied up. Al, 2-2. I haven't been able to break it. Why don't you take it over, Al Helfer?
All right, Jimmy, we'll see what will happen here. Here are your totals at the end of nine innings of play for the Cleveland Indians. 2 runs, 7 hits, no errors. They have left 11 on here this afternoon in facing pitchers Magley, Little, and now Marv Grissom. And for the New York Giants in facing Bob Lemon, they have 2 runs on 8 base hits. They've committed 3 errors afield, and 9 have been left on. So it's just about as even, Stephen, as it possibly can be with the exception of the error column. And now let's step into the top half of the 10th inning to see what Victor Wirtz is going to do. He's ripped a triple and 2 singles and 4 at-bats and swings on the first pitch offered by Grissom. Hits a high foul ball off to the left of the plate, way up into the second tier out of play. So this promises, as Jimmy said, to be a wing-ding series. All the experts have picked it as such, and I think all the fans around the country and the world expect it to be exactly that. The Cleveland Indians and the New York Giants. And Marv Grissom, showing a lot of strength on the mound in relief, is pitching now to left-handed batting Victor Wirtz. Has a count on him of strike one. Pitches a knuckleball, what looks like a knuckler, and it's fouled off to the left of the plate for strike two. Inning number 10 here in the first game of the 1954 World Series. This is the 51st playing of the Fall Classic. And right now the shadows are beginning to fall here over Coogan's Bluff and over the playing diamond at the ground. Home plate, first base, pitcher's mound, and second base and third base in the shadows. Now Grissom is ready. Delivers 0-2. Wirtz takes the fastball. Fired in there high for ball one. 1-2. Cleveland 2, the New York Giants 2. I guess you wouldn't want a more even Steven ball game to start off the big fall activity. Marvin Grissom, 34-year-old right-hander, pitched some fine relief ball for the Giants this year. Delivers to Wirtz a fastball low for ball two. Well, one thing you can say about it, Bob Lemon has lasted so far on 3 pitches the Giants have put out there. Magley, Don Little, who pitched only 1/3 of the 8th inning, and Marv Grissom, who pitched 2/3 of the 8th and has been steaming along ever since. Victor Wirtz levels that bat off. Grissom fires away 2-2. Fastball, it's high and outside. So Wirtz has an even chance as far as Grissom is concerned with a 3-ball, 2-strike count. First man up here for the Cleveland Indians in the first half of the 10th inning. Marv Grissom takes a sign, dealt out there by Western. Right foot forward on the rubber, waiting. Now he starts his motion. The 3-2 pitch to the plate towards the swing on. There's a high fly ball hit down the left field line, curving foul up into the second tier out of play. Well, that's another close one. Alvin Dark electrified everybody with 2 down. The base is empty in the last half of the 9th inning, as Jimmy told you. Had a high, towering drive deep into left field where Al Smith was able to get under it and make the catch. Before something like the one that was hit out there to Marty Irvin. Just missed the overhanging facade here at the Polo Grounds by a scant few feet. Been quite a ball game here this afternoon. Now the next 3-2 pitch here on Victor Wirtz. Grissom cuts it loose, an overhand fastball. And there's a line shot hit for left field. It's curving just outside foul. Victor Wirtz all the way down to first base and carried his bat with him. He didn't even drop it. He just tucked it under his arm and started to run. By the barest of margins, that becomes a foul ball, and Wirtz still has a count of 3-2. So far, with Wirtz, Mr. Grissom has a living sort of a charmed life. That buzzed the fans here at the Polo Grounds, make no mistake. Now Wirtz gets that. I think my friend Jimmy here almost swallowed his chewing gum. Oh, me. Now the 3-2 pitch by Marv Grissom. An overhand fastball swung on by Wirtz. There's a long drive deep in the left center field. Willie Mays going to have to hurry if he's going to get this one. He's not going to get it.
It's in the alley, left center field for the bases. Victor Wirtz on his way to second. Here comes Willie Mays, throw into Alan Dark at short. It's a stand-up two-bagger for Victor Wirtz. He has the only extra base blows in the ball game today, a triple and now a double. Victor Wirtz, a double to deep left center field. Well, Willie Mays made one spectacular catch on Victor Wirtz back in the eighth inning. Jimmy Dudley told you, going deep in the right center field, taking the ball over his shoulder, much in the manner an end catches a forward pass of his quarterback. Mays turned around, his quick throw in. Held things down pretty much. Now, Rudy Regalado is coming onto the bullpen. He's going to run for Victor Wirtz. Rudy Regalado, the kid from California. Round of applause for Victor Wirtz, and he deserved it. Rudy Regalado is taking his position at second base. Regalado, the young fellow who came up from came out of California to make himself a spot on the ball club. Rudy's from Los Angeles, California. That is, he was born there and still raised there. Was raised there and still lives there. 6 feet, 185 pounds. He's been used principally in relief for the Cleveland Indians this year. That is, as a relief third baseman. And I believe, Jimmy, he has played a little shortstop too, hasn't he?
Yes, he has played short, third, and second. He likes third base, however, Al, better than any of the other positions.
Oh, I know a pulled thigh muscle took him out of the lineup when he was hitting pretty well. Now batting right-handed Sam Detty for his first at-bat of the afternoon. And he bunts the first pitch down the third base lineup. With it is Hank Thompson. Throws to Davey Williams covering at first base. Sam Detty sent up to sacrifice Regalado over to third. Successfully does it. Sam Detty went up there batting at 266, and of course will hold that batting average. 5-4 put out on the sacrifice. In case you're scoring along with us this afternoon, that puts Regalado running for Victor Wirtz, who doubled to left center field on third base in scoring position. And hitting left-handed, Dave Pope coming up there, and they're going to walk him intentionally, setting up the opportunity for a double play. There's ball one on the outside. Marv Grissom will throw wide to him for the next 3 days, and while this is being done, let's pause 10 seconds here for station identification. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.
WGN, your exclusive World Series station, Chicago.
We've just completed ball four to Dave Pope. And Bill Glynn, a left-hand hitter, is being called upon to bat for Jim Hegan. So Al Lopez is going all out here in his attempt to get this run in, the lead in the ball game here in the top half of the 10th inning, because once you get past those nine, as we all know, it's a sudden death affair. And of course, Grissom has his work cut out for him very definitely. Bill Glynn, hitting left-handed, is being announced to the crowd now. He'll probably stay in and play at first base. Means we'll have a new catcher for the Cleveland Indians. Glynn coming on here in the 10th inning to bat for Hegan will stay in that slot probably and play at first base. Of course, this is all conjecture on our part. I'll have to wait to see what manager Al Lopez has in mind. But we're just sort of kind of looking forward to the last half of the 10th inning to see how the defensive alignment is going to come up for Cleveland. Bill Glynn hitting left-handed. Moving in there right now. First baseman hit 251 over the regular season. Left-handed batter. Right up the first pitch to Glynn with runners at first and third. Second is open and one out. The pitch to Glynn is a curve, nicely over, right under the letters for called strike one. Grissom gave him a lot of motion, not too much speed. The next batter up there should be Bob Lemon. Down comes the pitch again. Fastball swung on and missed by Glynn for strike two. Hank Thompson has been playing a shallow third base with Glynn up there. Of course, he has a double purpose at third. He's playing shallow. Glynn might drop one down, pop his swing and drop it down the third baseline. And two, Regalado is on at third, and Thompson wants to be there in a beneficial play back there for him. Regalado takes his lead off at third base. He represents a tie-breaking run for Cleveland. In comes the pitch, a fastball high off the peak of the cap for ball one. Left-hander Wendy McCall, along with Hart Wilhelm, the right-hander down in the bullpen for the New York Giants, just in case Marv Grissom should have any more trouble here in the 10th inning. Wirtz opened with a double. Regalado is running for him. Dandy sacrificed to run it down to third.
Pope was walked intentionally.
Good swing on by Glenn and miss.
Ball strike three.
Wilson came in with a hooky good curveball, and Glenn was after it. Missed it right off the fist. That's the big important out for Marv Grissom to be picking up at this particular point in the game. That gives him his second strikeout. Four times, Cleveland batsmen have gone down by the strikeout route. And the round of applause is for Bob Lemon as he comes out. Here's a chance for Bob definitely to strike a blow on his own behalf. Let's see, this afternoon, Lemon has walked in the second inning, lined out to center field to Willie Mays in the fifth, wrapped up to shortstop Alvin Dock in the seventh, and in the ninth inning, hit a fly ball to left field to Marty Irvin. Time is called for the moment as Whitey Lockman comes over to say something to Marv Grissom and remind him that there are two out here in the top of the 10th inning. Regalado is on at third base. At first is Dave Pope. Second is open. Two down. Score still two apiece and Bob Lemon up. Grissom delivers to him and Lemon takes a fastball. It's low and outside for ball one. Quite a tense moment in the ball game here for Marv Grissom and the New York Giants. As Jim told you, this is Marv Grissom's ball game now, to win or lose. He's won 10, lost 7 on the regular season. He's ready now, delivers a curve, swung on, and line drive right to Lenny Luckman at first base for out number three to retire the side, and the Cleveland threat goes to the board. Oh, here in the 10th inning for Cleveland, no runs, one base hit. There were no giant errors, and two Cleveland Indians were left on, running their total now to 13 to be left on and going to bat 10 times. So the score at the end of 9 1/2 innings of play remains Cleveland 2, the New York Giants 2. Well, we're in extra innings now, fans, and how long this game will go is the $64 question. The longest game on record took 3 hours and 28 minutes when the Tigers faced the Cubs in 1945. Now, you'll find plenty of interesting baseball dope just like this if you get yourself a copy of the Gillette World Series Record Book. Here's a great little reference book to have on hand all year round. It answers thousands of questions, highlights facts, figures, and features that make every game more exciting and more enjoyable. Buy today's one-piece Gillette Super Speed Razor at the regular price, and the book is yours free while they last. Now the last half of inning number 10. Now the changes in the lineup for Cleveland. At first base, we have Bill Glenn and Mickey Grasso, a fellow who had a terrific fight to make a comeback this year after having suffered a severe fracture of the leg, is coming on to do the catching here in this World Series game. And he'll bat in the number 5 position. So Mickey Grasso comes on. He's the same Mickey Grasso who did quite a bit of the catching for the Washington Nationals and was dealt over to the Cleveland Indians. Mickey Grasso, practically all of the year, because of that fractured leg, is coming on here in the 10th inning to be the catcher. And at first base, as we had supposed, Bill Glenn remains, who will bat number 8. He'll take over at first base. So defensively now, the Cleveland Indians have Bob Lemon on the mound. Mickey Grasso behind the plate. At first base, Bill Glenn. At second, Bobby Avila. At short is Sam Duddy. And at third is Al Rosen. The outfield remains the same of left fielder Al Smith, center fielder Larry Doby, right fielder Dave Polk. Lemon ready to pitch now to Don Mueller. He does and gets a let-up curveball in there for a strike. Two runs on 7 hits for Cleveland, no errors. They've stranded 13 so far in this extra inning ball game. The Giants have 2 runs and 8 hits off Lemon. Mueller takes a cup at this next pitch and hits a foul ball off the end of the bat. Goes over into the stands out of play back at third base. Strike 2 of the count on Don Mueller, the number 3 here in the Giants order. He'll be followed by Willie Mays and then by Hank Thompson. 2-2. What'll they do? Don't know. It's been quite a ball game here today. The wind sort of died down a bit coming in from behind left field, but still we have enough of it here to determine what's going to happen with the fly ball. Lemon's ready now. Pumps and delivers an overhand curve. Swung on and missed by Mueller for strike 3. The ball was dropped by Grasso. He picked it up and tagged Don Mueller for the first out. Coming up now is Willie Mays. So remember his terrific catch in center field. Bob Lemon with 6 strikeouts now to face Willie Mays. Willie is yet to get his first base hit in the World Series. He popped up a short in the first, walked in the third, grounded to third in the fifth inning, and forced Mueller at second base in the seventh. Willie Mays hitting right here. Mickey Grasso, fine competitor behind the plate now for the Cleveland Indians, working with Bob Lemon. Grasso, whose leg still bothers him, nevertheless, he's out there going. We're in the twos. Curveball is way outside and low to Willie Mays, gets through and back to the backstop for ball one. Looks as though Bob Lemon threw that sinker. Got a little too much outside. One out for the Giants here in the 10th inning. There are no base runners. The score is still tied at two apiece. Hoyt Wilhelm is alone throwing down the Giant bullpen now. Looks as though it will be heat coming on in case he's needed. Lemon delivers a curve. Drives Willie Mays back from the plate. Flips in under the short ribs. Ball two. Two balls, no strikes on Willie Mays. Bob Lemon, who has paced himself very well here this afternoon, beats that ball down in the palm of the glove, gets ready now as he leans forward, takes a sign from Grasso. Grasso, the relief catcher now for Cleveland. Lemon delivers a curve, snaps off low and outside, and Grasso is having a little trouble handling the curve balls fired in there by Bob Lemon. Willie Mays has a count of 3-0. 3 balls, no strikes. Lemon back to visit the rosin bag, slams it down. Comes right up, puts his foot on the rubber. Looks down at Willie Mays, who's standing there waiting for the pitch to be made. Now the 3-0 delivery. Lemon comes in with fastball, taken by Mays and poured through at the knees for strike one call. Al Barlick, the National League umpire, working the plate here this afternoon, can be heard all over this ballpark. No doubt about it, when Barley calls them, they're called. Fastball is outside and low for ball four. And Willie Mays, with one out, draws a free ticket for first base to represent the possible winning run for the New York Giants. In the way of bases on balls, if you'll check me, Jim, that's the fourth given up by Jim Lemon. Thank you. The fourth given up by Bob Lemon. And coming up to the plate now is Hank Thompson. Hank's banked a single to right field back in the third inning. He's rolled out to first, then hit his single to right. Came along in the fifth inning and struck out, and then was walked in the eighth. So he's 1-for-3 this afternoon, and has driven in one of the runs the Giants now possess. Now we're ready for the first pitch. And it comes and goes the runner. Willie Mays is going to try for it. Mickey Grasso throws down to second. It's not in time to Denny. And Willie Mays has stolen second base. Sam Denny kept that ball. He wasn't going to give Willie Mays a chance to get up and get off that bag at all. He just kept tapping him on the leg. And umpire Conlon standing laughing. Sam Denny was insistent. Willie Mays has stolen second base here. Oh, he puts the Giants in a pretty good spot. And now they're going to put Hank Thompson on. They're going to put him on. I'll put Thompson on, walk intentionally. Runners at first and second. That'll set up a double play situation. That's the thing the Cleveland Indians, of course, right now are hoping for. That's a base on ball. And here comes a guy that did a tremendous lot of damage to the National League pitchers this year. Dusty Rhodes coming up to the plate. There's the announcement for him, and you'll hear them yell for him as soon as they realize who it's coming up. Dusty Rhodes coming up to the plate. He's going to bat for Monty Irvin. He'll probably remain out there to play in the field. Dusty Rhodes batting at 341. Hit 15 home runs this year for the Giants. Drove in 50 runs and didn't play too often. Played in only 82 of the ball games. Used principally as a pinch batter. Dusty Rhodes coming on. Left-handed. So Lemon has his work cut out for him with one out. Two on here in the last of the 10th inning. Rhodes swings on the first pitch. It's a half fly ball into right field. Coming over his coat. Back near the line. Leaps. He can't get it. It's into the right field stands for a home run for Dusty Rhodes. Lemon throws his glove straight up in the air. And that's it. That does it. At the plate, Dusty Rhodes is being mobbed. He's being mobbed here in the last half of the 10th inning for a pinch hit home run in this World Series to drive in three of them. So it's a final 5-2. 5 runs for the New York Giants. 5 runs, and let's see, that'll be the ninth hit. 5 runs, 9 hits. They had 3 errors here this afternoon, and left a total of 9 on the...
Oh, Dusty Rhodes gets off and continues to be gone as the marvelous pinch batter. Dusty Rhodes, a home run in the 10th inning with one out and two men on. The drive in three runs for the Giants in the 10th. That was the only base hit. There were no errors. There was one stolen base. Nobody was left on. For the Cleveland Indians, two runs here this afternoon on a total of seven hits, getting all off Magley. They had no errors. And left on the bases this afternoon, 13 for the Cleveland Indians. Well, everybody, it's all over. A storybook finish for the New York Giants in the first game of the 1954 World Series. And I know that a veteran reporter has many, many things to say about what has been seen here this afternoon. And in just a moment, Bill Corum will review the highlights of today's game for you.
Please imagine a home permanent that's really trouble-free. It's new self-timing Tony with 15-minute waving lotions. With this new Tony, you're sure of perfect timing every time. There's no clock checking, no test curls, no guesswork. Your self-timing Tony is timed so right, your waves can't go wrong. Takes only minutes to wave and neutralize, gives you months of more carefree waves. It's the one permanent that's fast and lasts. And your wave will be soft and natural right from the very first day. So no matter how happy you ever get, today.
It's a new Tony, a bouncer Tony. It's self-timing, 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 self-timing Tony.
Well, that was quite a finish to quite a ball game, wasn't it? The third time this year that Dusty Rhodes has walked up at that plate and hit a pinch hit home run. And I guess that probably never has happened before. I don't have any record here on it. But it's great pinch hitting anyhow. And it was the 16th hit that he had made in 46 trips to the plate, I believe, as a pinch hitter. Of course, he played regularly part of the season, too. But before we go on with the victorious Giants, it should be said that nobody ever pitched a stouter-hearted game than did Bob Lemon of San Bernardino, California, here for the Indians this afternoon. He was a little shaky at the beginning, got better as the game went on, and that was the only extra base hit, that home run of Rhodes, that made, of course, the score 5-2, where all the Giants really needed then, a sudden death would have been that one run that they had down at second base, but they got three for good measure. And, of course, it was a tremendous victory because in any World Series, as all you listeners know, the first game amounts to so much. And also because Lemon has been, of course, if not the best, it's between either Bob or Early Win, I should say, because both of them won 23 games. But by some people, at least, considered their strongest pitcher. And he was a great pitcher this afternoon. And when you beat the top pitcher, of course, Magley didn't finish either. But a great many people, and on his record, he doesn't rate as the Giants' tops. That'll be Johnny Antonelli, who will pitch tomorrow. And so the Giants got, as I said before, a tremendous break in this victory. Not only the all-important first game, but now in an excellent pitching position, and they would even have Magley, who didn't do too badly. And, of course, was succeeded by Little, and little by little, Mr. Vic Wertz, who was one of the greatest hitters I ever saw this afternoon in any World Series. Actually, if you told the truth, you'd have to say that he made five straight hits. Of course, he didn't. Willie Mays robbed him, and undoubtedly the greatest catch, with the greatest catch, that's ever been made in World Series history. He went clear back to the barrier. The ball was clear over his head. Everybody of the crowd of 52,000-plus here thought it was over his head. And the only one that wouldn't acknowledge it was Willie. He just kept going and kept going, and finally the ball dropped in his glove over his shoulder, and he turned around and threw a strike to second base. He can really rifle that ball as well as catch it. Of course, he didn't do anything at the bat this afternoon except draw a couple of bases on balls, but he was, as he has been all season, a tremendous ball player. And so are these two teams. Cleveland having won 111 games this year. It was the fourth pitch hit home run in World Series history, by the way. Somebody just had me a note here on that. That was Rhodes, and it was the fourth pinch hit homer in World Series history. I was saying that Cleveland won 111 games, which is a record, and is a mighty fine ball team. They made no errors today. They played good, tight baseball, and they got stop pitching from Lemon. Not the best game he ever pitched by any means, but strong arm pitching, and so did the Giants get about as stout-hearted a job from marvelous Marv Grissom as anybody ever saw. Down there in the short rows of the ball game, when Cleveland was playing in every inning, he had the bases loaded once, and he had a man on again, and then he had two on in the 10th. And this was the first extra inning World Series game now since 1952, I believe, when Brooklyn and the Yankees played across the river over here, and my memory is Brooklyn won it. in 11 innings, not very important. But in those last innings, the Indians were knocking at the door all the time, and Grissom just had to be a whale of a pitcher and have a heart like a lion to stand them off. And he did. He was pitching the same sort of ball that Lemon had been pitching all afternoon until Mr. Rhodes walked up there and cold-cocked it, and that was payday in the mines. And now it's kind of May's in September here on this beautiful afternoon at the Polo Grounds because as these people file out here, they know that they've seen one of the best World Series baseball games in many and many a year, and they also are very happy, most of them naturally being New York fans, that the Giants got off to such a wonderful start. They were not perilous in the field by any means. The outfield was pretty shaky, Don Mueller making two errors, and Irvin one that looked like it might cost the ball game on Grissom, but Grissom reared back and made the next fellow fly out to him, too. Got four outs in that inning. Now, this broadcast is authorized under broadcasting rights granted by the Commissioner of Baseball solely for the entertainment of our listening audience, and any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the descriptions and accounts of this game without the express consent of the commissioner is prohibited. And now, fans, make a date to be with us tomorrow afternoon for the second game of the series. Tuning time will be 12:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the same as today. Before signing off, we want to thank our engineer, Gifford Campbell, and engineers, and Gene Clark, our statistician, Frank Zizzulo. This program was directed and under the supervision of Mutual Sports Director Paul Jonas, my good friend. And so until tomorrow, this is Bill Corum saying smooth sailing, smooth shaving, and good afternoon for your host, the Gillette Safety Razor Company.